to a very exciting episode of the 8-4 Play Podcast, your first, only, greatest, best home for talk about Japan and games and Japanese games. I am still your host, Mark Game Jesus McDonald. With me, we have a full house, two stick mics in rotation. That's right, folks. We are at full capacity here in honor of our special guest. But before we get to him, introducing our regulars.
Not so special guests.
That's right. Less, a little less special. But, well, special in their
own special
ways.
Way.
I leave it up to you. First of all, leading it off to my left, stage right, that is Roy Mexican Kirby Blakely, who went on kind of an ugly rant before we were recording. Luckily, we weren't recording.
I didn't know you had that side to you.
Listen, certain Kirby doll that came up in the office that I was, yeah.
It has a hat on.
I was
on
very
it.
Surprised. I believe this is like Magician Kirby, right?
But it's Whip Kirby.
Oh.
What'd you call him?
Okay, Whip. You know what, though? Whip. In fairness,
don't make me say it again.
This Kirby does look a little confused. He does seem to be sporting a whip, but also some kind of like magician's hat, or is this supposed to be like Indiana Jones?
Indiana Jones.
Yeah. But they put stars on it and make it look like
it's cute,
so that it's far away from any copyright.
I saw the bright colors.
Yeah.
Our guest was handing it to someone else, I believe, and it was just a flash. I just saw a flash of a brightly colored hat.
And just before you thought,
I made a judgment call.
Just slipped out.
Yeah.
I know. It happens to PewDiePie. It happens to, it happens to everybody, Roy. It happens to everybody. You're not thinking. Luckily, we weren't streaming at the time, so don't worry. You're okay.
I mean, that's why we all love Kirby. He's just this beautiful cultural appropriation rainbow. They're all in there.
That's right. That's where Kirby originally came from, right? Was Nintendo's trying to reach out to different cultures.
revisionism.
Not many people know that. Graham, wow, this one also doesn't sound good, but it's about a totally different subject. Graham Master Race Howard.
Master Ace.
Master Race. PC Master
Race.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
You recently had some kind of, like, epiphany or...
So there's been some bullshit going on.
Yeah.
You're very angry.
As I walked into the office today, you were, like, very obviously upset.
Graham's been touchy the
last
couple days.
And I just assumed it was, like, your workload, but it's not that.
Well, I mean, that's part of it. It's all part of it. But okay. I was going to check out Puyo Puyo Tetris the other day.
Why would you do that? Oh, because Tetris Effect is not available yet.
Sure, yeah. Let's just say that's the reason for now. But I was like, I'm going to, you know, grab my Switch and play a little bit of Puyo Puyo Tetris. Mm-hmm. And it just lives in its dock, which is plugged in.
Yeah.
And I pull it out, hit the power button, nothing happens. Like, that's odd.
Hmm.
Maybe it's just not charging for some reason.
Yeah.
So I, you know, remove the power from the dock, and then I plug it right into the Switch. There's no light or anything. It won't turn on.
Uh-oh.
And I happen to have one
of
our...
When was the last time you had played your Switch?
Whenever Mario Odyssey came out.
Oh, okay.
So, like over half a year.
A little bit ago, yeah.
Yeah. So I then... Dermis, give me a no.
You and me played Puyo Puyo Tetris since then.
We did, yeah. I brought it into the office and said I played Puyo Puyo Tetris. Yeah.
Good spanked, right. Spanked Dermis.
But yeah, so I had
you
an office.
You must have gotten your ass kicked inside out.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. But, you know, I just, for the...
Graham
for,
knows.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So I had my office Switch with me. Like,
see
I took
what we're talking
kit.
About, folks?
I took a dev kit home, and I was like, I might as well make sure that the adapter is fine. So I tried the adapter with the office Switch, and that worked fine. So I'm like, huh, okay, so there's clearly something wrong with the Switch.
Yeah.
Go to Nintendo Support, the website. It's like, if the power doesn't turn on, your CPU is broken, that'll be $150, sir.
Wait, how do you know that? I don't know. I think
there's
still room here for user error. Like, did you...
What
you,
the?
User error?
Did you hold the power button down for, like, 5 minutes or something and make sure, or...
I'm going to give Graham the benefit of the doubt here.
No.
I mean, he did, like, try the different AC... Like, he has gone through the scientific method to... It sounds like pretty...
But the one thing you do when your system doesn't launch is you hold the power button down for like 20... That happens with PlayStation all the time.
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, yeah.
That's probably the first thing you did.
Yeah, when it's not turning on. Gee, what's the first thing you think to do? Is you touch the power button.
Or you hold it down.
Did you try it twice, though?
I don't know.
Are you sure? Did you try it more than once?
I don't believe
it. Because sometimes the first time...
Long taps?
I don't think he held it down for 20 seconds. I don't think he did.
So anyway, so the Switch is fucking first piece of Nintendo hardware that's ever failed on me. I don't even use the goddamn thing.
I wonder if we're... No, okay. I was just going to say, like... It's too early to tell,
Mark.
But yeah. No, that's not a little bit amount of money. And do you have a Japanese Switch or a US?
Japanese Switch.
Okay. Yeah. So you're going to return it to Japanese support.
Yeah.
So how much is it in yen, just out of curiosity?
Oh, see, when I was $150, it was like 1.5 months.
So okay, that's what I was asking. Okay.
So, I mean, I guess it's less in US dollars or whatever.
No, but I was just curious what the exact... Yeah, okay, so...
So I never use this goddamn thing. A stupid Switch. I played Mario on it. Played a little bit of Puyo Puyo Tetris.
You could get a used one for what? Maybe two? I mean, not from a store, but from a person. You could get a used one for maybe what? Like
so I'm thinking like the plan is probably going to be like have them fix it for their fucking King's Ransom, $150. And then sell the goddamn thing
You're
for like $200.
You're awfully upset. And then so he's going around saying there's no games to play on it. Switch. Like, all this crap. Like, that's just a bunch of BS.
On that side. There's too many. If anything, the Switch of all systems right now is embarrassment of riches.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything. Everything that's already been on the PC Master Race.
And on PS4. Everything is already somewhere else.
So how does this get... How do we get to the PC from here?
He's got nothing else to play because he...
Switch sucks. I mean, that goddamn thing won't even turn on.
Because... Yeah. And but what about PS4?
I have one. It's also kind of...
So you're going to play Octopath Traveler on your PC next week?
I think I'm just not going to play Octopath.
Oh, wait, really? You're going to miss...
I don't have a system.
Wait, back up. Your PS4 is dying on you as well?
Yeah, like, if I put it in sleep mode often, it just doesn't turn back on.
See, this sounds like user error. I think there's
a
problem over there.
User error.
You got all your game systems under the sun or something? What's going on? You got a cat?
Is the power weird in your building?
You have roaches?
Roaches? No, it's just fucking... PS4 is still working fine. I use that thing a lot. Switch never used it.
Let's check the cables, John. I want to do like an autopsy on this. I want to report. I'll pay the extra like $20 for Nintendo to give a report of what the problem really was.
They're going to, I mean,
can
after
we do
I
that?
Send it to them, yeah, they're going to do the autopsy themselves.
But will they just charge you or will they say, here's what was wrong with it?
You think they would charge me and not tell me what was wrong with it?
Yeah, I think they would just...
Holy shit.
Charge you $150 and send it back to you.
Oh, I think they'll tell you what's wrong with it.
Really?
They
just
do,
not
yeah.
tell you what's wrong.
Yeah, that'd be pretty bad.
No, they'll just charge you for what the problem was.
In America, at least, a lot of times you'll lose your data though. Like they'll say like we'll do everything we can to keep it.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
no,
but it doesn't always work out.
If the CPU is dead, it's probably just gone.
All right, we'll come back to this. I want to introduce because our guest
we're never
is
coming back
the
to the
bed.
Goddamn Switch.
Wow,
not anyway.
Guarantee you he'll be playing Octopath Traveler in 2 weeks.
Yeah, no kidding. Exactly.
I can't. I literally can't. Even if I send it out today, it won't come back in time.
I think it'll come back in time.
It doesn't.
You have to believe.
Remember JJ? They fixed his stuff really fast.
Yeah. Yeah, he said expect 10 business days, and that's already too late. So,
wow. All right, so
don't want him back anyway.
He's defeatist, man. Come on.
Moving on, in more positive news, John, Mr. Du Riccardi.
Yeah,
Mr. Du.
It's me, Mr. Du. Do nothing but work.
Mr. Do nothing but work.
Yeah.
But DU nothing but work.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I found a Mr. Du arcade machine in Kawasaki, and it was Mr. DU.
How were you just in randomly in an arcade?
No, it's that weird ass Kowloon arcade.
Oh, you went there?
Like, yeah, it was a while ago, actually. I was just looking through old pictures and I had like, oh, I forgot to look into this. And like, I realized, you know, they had an arcade cabinet there for Mr. Du, but it was spelled DU.
Talking about the Kawasaki warehouse.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, you know, I tweeted about it and a bunch of people were like, oh, it's probably a counterfeit or whatever.
Right.
I was like,
knockoff.
You don't see counterfeits in Japanese arcades that often. Like, that's
would have been a surprise, especially in an arcade like that.
Yeah, and you know, it wasn't like it had all the stickers and everything on the machine and everything too. It wasn't just like the board itself or whatever. So
people who don't know, actually, I'm just going to introduce our guest right now because the fact that we're talking about Mr. Du,
he kind of is Mr. Du
with our special guest
like,
here.
Mr. Du himself is here.
That's right. Is kind of ridiculous. So I'm going to introduce him so he can chime in. That is Steve Baby's First Bourbon Lynn, friend of the show. Second time on the program, alternate nickname Kirby Your Enthusiasm because you brought us like a plethora of Kirby's. Said Mexican Kirby from earlier is one of many, the menagerie of Kirby's
with,
that
like, sleeping caps
that Steve
sleeping
has caps. Brought us from his many crane game adventures. Steve, how you doing, man?
I am doing great. It is awesome to be back.
Good to have you back, man.
Yeah.
So you're kind of known for many things, but one of the things you're definitely known for is in like the different kind of retro scenes, gaming history scenes,
yep.
whatever. So like, yeah, the fact that we're talking about 1980, I'm going to say 81?
Yeah, 81, 82.
81, 82, Mr. Du?
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of people listening to this probably don't even know what the hell Mr. Du is.
Nope. You're a little clown, and you have a ball, and it's kind of like Dig Dug.
It's basically a Dig Dug clone,
yeah.
right? Although
it's
I don't
like
know which
Dug
came
variation.
First. I guess Dig Dug came first, probably?
Dig Dug came
Dig
first.
Dig Dug's, I think,
it's like
more
80,
primitive,
right? Or
right?
Something.
It
yeah.
feels like that.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, like Mr. Du, you dig through the ground, and you collect cherries, and you can throw the ball and hit.
And you can
like,
fucking whip. Are they ball? Are they apples? What are you like whipping at those guys? And like,
it's his magic ball.
Them? Oh,
like,
it is.
Like once it smashes into.
Oh, I'm thinking of. I'm mixing it up with actually. I think something else. What's the one where you're rolling a big giant fucking apple and you like smash? guys with it. This might have been a dream.
I was just going to say, this sounds like a dream.
a fever dream?
No,
maybe?
I swear. Right. Fucking tweet at us.
All alone.
You know what I'm talking
a big
about
donut.
Out there. Internet, save me. But so there was, yes, so there was Mr. Do, Mr. Do's Castle.
Yeah, and Mr. Do's Do Run Run. Mr. Do's Wild Ride.
Yeah, Mr. Do's Wild. I was about to joke that name, but there was actually Do Run Run.
Do Run Run. Yeah, Mr. Do's
starring
Wild
Mr.
Ride.
Do.
Yeah, it's like a roller coaster type thing.
What?
Yeah.
Huh. Same kind of gameplay?
No, different. I mean, like, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of blanking on it right now.
Sure, that's
okay. It's been a while since I played Mr. Do sequels. But
is this Mr. Do D-O-O-D-E-W?
D-O exclamation point.
Okay. Yes.
Or in the version I saw, D-U.
Yeah.
Which was maybe
really
that was
weird.
You know, it could be
Japanese,
like a Puckman kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, like the first run or something. And then, like, I don't know.
But, like, why? I mean, I guess because in Japanese it'd be Mr. Do if it was D-O. Maybe that's why?
I think it's spelled Do in katakana, and that's probably why they wrote D-U originally. Yeah.
Oh, I see. And then
the
that doesn't make any sense. It should
and
be
then they
D-O,
fixed it.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, when I tweeted about it, though, Mike, a friend of the show, like, pointed out that, like, what was it, the SNES version or something? Like,
yeah,
some version
access,
of it
yes.
has a code that lets you change the name to DU,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, made people think, oh, maybe it was legit and not a counterfeit, and obviously now, so, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that tweet, and I didn't get a chance to kind of dive in, but with the California Extreme coming up, that there's going to be a ton of people all in one place, and we can all sort of solve the mystery of Mr. D.U.
Yeah, actually, so talk about California Stream for people who don't. It's one of the biggest things I regret about leaving San Francisco. And there's an awesome video if you want to get, like, I was just watching it today, looking at your Twitter feed.
Oh,
It's your pinned tweet right
now. Yeah, my Drew Scanlon video.
Yes,
yeah,
there's, like, a 360 video, which is a brilliant way to actually capture California Extreme because it is a...
Yeah, it's a bunch of Bay Area and sometimes further away people. We bring chunks of our arcade and pinball collections, all into one place, like basically an exhibition hall.
Yeah.
And we set up an arcade with, you know, 400 or 500 games, and everything's on free play.
Yeah.
And so you just, you know, pay an admission, and you walk in, and just all the sights and sounds.
Do
and
they
everything.
Still, oh, the lights are low.
The lights are low,
Do they still pump in the 80s music at night?
Yeah, there's 80s music. Sometimes they'll be shooting, like Dragon's Lair or something on the walls.
Yeah.
Tournaments.
Do you guys hire smokers?
No, put cigarette burns like on the control panels. And then
that really
sketchy
would be,
dudes outside.
Yeah,
yeah,
sweet,
like,
part time gig.
Fuck, that would
just
be
here and smoking.
Smoking model. Yeah. That people dressed up as the '80s, like play out little scenes, kind of like that Japanese theme park we went to where the samurai fight each other.
Right,
like guys like confronting their somebody stole their girlfriend or something, or like. Beat their high score or kill screen. Steve, these are, you can write these down.
I'm keeping them all in my head.
Right,
I mean, this is the difference, I think, between arcade and pinball collectors and some console collectors. Like, a lot of times console displays are kind of behind glass or like on a table.
Yes.
And these are just all open. And, you know, parents bring their kids. So it's like, hey, that game's, you know, one of a kind. And some kid's like hanging off the joystick.
No, exactly.
The
which would make me so nervous because you are one of the people, right, that bring your games to the. Are you ever, like, just kind of there, like, keeping an eye in the corner of your eye? Like,
I mean, they're designed to take a beating, right? They were made for people to play. And if something breaks, like, there's always people. I think you even talk about this in the video. There's always people around to repair.
Right.
And so there's, like, the smell of, like, solder and sweat and all kinds of
stuff. You're at the right place to break a machine.
If something breaks,
it's like a doctor's convention, like getting sick at like a doctor's convention or something.
It's
like
exactly
everybody there is like, oh, let me do it. Yeah, I want to do it. Let me fix it.
And then the funny thing is, whenever you open up a machine, like, there's people who have never seen the inside of an arcade machine. And so you have this, like,
crowd.
Almost like stage fright, right? Because you're trying to fix a board with a headlamp on your head because there's no light.
Lighting,
then you have like 30 people standing over. Yeah, exactly. It's like the operating theater.
Well, especially
right?
with pinball, when you lift up some of those boards,
field,
it's just all wires and crazy shit. It just looks like, it really does look like you've just, like, the guts or something
opened
like,
Please turn off your flash if you're going to take a photo. I'm trying to fix a machine here.
But it's like, what is it usually per day admission? Was it like 15, 20 bucks?
It's like, I think $20 now. It gets, you know, slightly more expensive each
year. It seems bigger than...
It's totally worth it.
So I haven't been there since maybe 2007. I mean, I would go every single summer for sure. It's a weekend every summer. Usually like July, later July, August?
Yeah, late July or August is when it is. And we added another room last year.
So it looked so huge already. It looked definitely bigger than when I saw it, which was in the... It's in a hotel now, right?
Yeah, it's we had used to be in San Jose, but then they had we had to have union labor move-in games to that venue. I'm like, there's no way that's going to happen. And so we had to find a different venue. But it's bigger and it's nicer, so it works out well.
I'm curious, like, is there a cutoff for like how old the games are? Is this like a more retro-focused thing? Or can you have like Pong next to like a Luigi's Mansion cabinet?
Yeah, I mean, you can have that. In fact, I think we have had... There's like this super retro... I mean, we have old pinball from like the 50s, 60s, right? Like the early era. And then that's next to like Ferrari, you know, F355 or something.
And then you have actually some of the even newer, like, so they're still making like bespoke pinball, like for certain licensed like games. And
yeah,
stuff
all
like
the new pinball. I mean, we have like, there's someone who brings in all the Japanese cabinets. So there's like Jubeat and everything you would see there.
Okay,
so,
That's pretty cool.
And you have like Killer Queen, and you have like definitely like recent
Killer Queen,
like
Cosmotrons,
that.
Like all that.
No,
stuff.
It's fucking amazing. Like, you can just go and lose your dad. If I was a kid, I would lose my mind. But as an older fellow, let us say, like, the especially like with the music and everything,
you
like
play
I mean
three
that's,
and then you get tired.
Yeah, it's just the track music,
and the
sound of like the pinball and everything.
It's just so I mean, because it just doesn't exist anymore. I mean, even if you go to like a game center here in Japan, it's just different because the games are from the different eras and stuff like that.
Everybody's smoking,
and there is that aspect.
And if you're just in
it.
Like the metal game section, it's just like the noise never stops. It's just the sound of coins hitting metal nonstop for hours and hours and hours.
There is one thing though. This reminds me of. I think it might be a series of like YouTube videos. Somebody took, or maybe just MP3s. Somebody took the like ambient sounds of different games per year.
Yep.
They were in arcades, so it's like arcade noises like 1981.
Oh, that's awesome. I want to hear
just
that.
And it just is, it's, you will fucking like just time travel. It's like crazy how much it's like, holy shit. I never realized how much I missed this until you hear it again. But, and then you can go year by year. And it's kind of like walking past different machines, but there's like five or six going on. Yeah. And you realize how many times, you know, how long you heard those different noises. It's just really, really fucking magical.
Yeah. What I would recommend, though, is, like, you want to mix eras, because there was no arcade where it's, like, we only have machines from 1982,
That is
right. So, you want to have, like, Dragon's Lair, you know, that attract sound, and then hear something, you know, from
Star Wars
like,
arcade.
Yeah, exactly. Right, yeah.
You got to hear like, Obi-Wan in the attract mode,
So, but when you're not collecting video games, you have a day job.
I do have a day job.
So to speak. What is that?
I am VP of Operations for Discord.
For Discord.
You
may have heard of it.
You may have.
Yeah, congrats, man. Like,
Thank you very much.
Time I talked to you, you were just like on the verge of starting to work there.
Yeah. We were in talks. I was kind of going through the interview process and then finalized that in the beginning of that year.
And I think that might have been the first time that I heard of Discord, and then like immediately that week. What are you fucking shaking your head at over here? That was like two
Dermot,
years
do you
ago?
Even know what pinball is,
ago.
Dermot?
Yeah. That was like 2 years ago, and then immediately after that, it like exploded.
Yeah.
It seemed like that to me immediately after that, like completely fucking went nuts. So when you started, there was what, like 40, 50
people? Yeah, there's 40, 50 people, and now we're over 100, so growing really fast. I mean, user base has been amazing for us. And like,
that's cool. You guys have a great fucking service.
Thank you very
and
much.
There's certain,
it's like modern IRC.
Yeah, there's consoles and PC, and there's places that just don't like do the stuff right. So it's like, hey, why? If you don't, you're not going to do it right, we'll do it right.
Yeah. Come on,
leave it to us.
Yeah, make it easy to find things to play with your friends.
What do you think about? Was there something that I read recently where Steam is thinking about redoing their shit to try to make stuff more friendly and make it more like Discord-like?
Well, they added chat. Well, rather they sort of redid their chat, and I think for us, it's Steam. They're free to do whatever they want. Like,
right.
For us, our mission is bringing people together around games. So whatever we can do to create that environment, we'll do that. And we have the quick launcher now, so you don't have to go through a bunch of hoops. You can see like, Mark is playing this game. I'll hit this, and we'll just jump into a game together. So.
Right. What do you? Where do you hang out on?
Well, we got
do you have like a million channels that you're in.
I have a lot. Yeah. It's like I think I'm in at least like 10 PUBG channels and
exotic
like
Kirby's.
10 just PUBG channels. Yeah, Mexican Kirby.
Yeah, Mexican Kirby channel. we had our office channels, which are awesome. I mean, I love the people I work with.
So do you guys use it for all your internal?
Yeah, so we do internal,
and then
we have all these like different subgroups. So there's like OT is like off topic, and so there's like anime, food, fine dining, games, and pets.
Do you guys like play softball against Slack or something on the weekend? Or
kickball, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
so no, we have a Bay Area like kickball league, and so nice. We did pretty well, I think. And the cool thing about the kickball league is you have to have a certain ratio of male female. And so there's some teams, some companies like, we can't join because we don't have enough.
Oh, wow.
So,
come on, Silicon Valley. Nice.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, that's exactly.
So what's going on these days at Discord? Tell us something people don't know about Discord or something you guys are working on. Or give us some inside scoop.
The inside scoop. Well,
VP of operations.
Yeah, yeah.
You know where do people send money to join the official 8-4 Discord channel?
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah, yes. Why aren't you doing that? Patreon. Yeah, all kinds of, like.
We need
why aren't we doing
it? We need to. We'll get
why are we? Yeah,
the podcast has got to be better, Steve. That's why.
We can set up an A4
server. We got to step it up first.
Yeah, we'll set up an A4 server.
All right.
Yeah, if you want to support the company, Nitro is the way to do it. You know, you'll get you have to do animated avatars. You can upload bigger images. You can change your discriminator so you're not like, you know, Steve 0246 or whatever. You
right.
can just like grab a number as long as it's available. So
okay.
We have a ton of people using Nitro right now, and it's a great way to support the company.
Well, so what's the hot next thing? Give me the
hot next thing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
what's coming? What's happening?
Well,
right now?
So the thing we were working on was the Games tab, which just launched, and that shows you what people that you're friends with or you're in shared servers with are playing.
Yeah,
and then you can say like, oh, you either discover new games to play or you can join in with your
that
friends.
That seems huge.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
probably is probably a huge pain in the ass too.
There's a lot of work that goes into it, but
yeah.
We want to make sure that it's the right experience, and so what we always do is we launch it and then we listen to all the feedback that comes in from our users, right? So if you love it, you hate it,
right?
Tell us, tweet at us. One of my teams is the customer service team and the folks on Twitter. And
God help you, Steve.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Sometimes there'll be like a shit post at like midnight. I'm like, all right, well, hey, what's up, CX team? Like, we just got 3,000 replies to something
yeah.
that went up there. So
Jesus Christ! Wow. What about in Japan? What's your guys' pickup like in
Japan?
Do you guys have Japanese
yeah, we
support?
Have a localized Japanese version.
Okay.
It's doing really well. I actually think that it could do better. The thing is, it's really PC focused.
Yeah, right.
And so there's less.
The market
PC,
here
yeah,
is
there's,
not.
There's fewer PC gamers
sure.
in Japan.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, for Japan, it's pretty obvious. It's mobile.
Yep.
And so that's kind of, we're seeing that worldwide, people using it for Pokemon Go. And so you see all these like local servers for raids
oh,
and everything
yeah,
like
yeah.
that.
I haven't even thought about that.
Yeah, so there's like, huge spike and we're like, okay, what is this? And
yeah.
it's like, oh, it's very likely like people getting together for Pokemon Go. And my friend, she messaged me and said, hey, my 70-year-old mother is on Discord because she plays Pokemon Go.
Wow.
And
awesome.
She wanted to know to meet up at the park, and she goes to the park and it's like her and like, 13-year-old kid and the parent and all kinds of and everybody kind of coming together and that's
awesome.
Part of the mission, so that's great for
yeah.
us. So
oh, interesting. Is there stuff that does that happen a bunch where stuff bubbles up and you're like, whoa, what the hell is this? And then you look into it to figure out what happened, because you guys just like you have these tools and then
mm-hmm.
something like a PUBG is going to happen, boom, it explodes.
Yep.
And then you can track, okay, like here's the interest in this. Like, do you guys see much in the way of activity before a larger narrative, oh, this game is going to be huge because
mm-hmm.
we can see here it's happening, or this game is falling off
right
before most people know that, or like stuff that you see that surprises you just based on like the data that you're getting?
I think one of the interesting things is we used to be able to very clearly see that stuff, but it's so big now, there are so many people on Discord that you will it kind of masks like any fluctuation in something.
I see.
So something really has to get like crazy for us to really stick out. I mean,
Fortnite?
Obviously, yeah, exactly.
Like, what
yeah.
was the last thing that went
Fortnite's
crazy?
The last one. Like,
yeah.
I mean, their official servers, they even started splintering them to like location based, and
yeah.
it was still, like, God, there's 100,000 people in the server. Like,
yeah.
we, we're like, well, that's a lot. Is it even readable, right?
Yeah.
It's sort of
yeah.
like you need a throttle.
Completely.
But they're like, yeah, we want to drive people in there. We want to engage with the community. So we did an update that was, I think in our update notes, we're like, yeah, we made it so it's faster and it performs better for larger servers. You're welcome, Fortnite.
Right, right.
So,
right. Nice.
Right?
Yeah. That's one thing that I do like about your guys. Like, all of even like your system messages and
yep.
stuff like that. It's very like small company, it's very like personable and focused, and it seems like that's just like a company culture type thing. It's
oh
not,
yeah.
not corporate, it's not like speaking down to people, like, yeah, et cetera.
The little launching messages.
Yeah, the loading lines. Those are I mean, we do mixed seating in the office, so you know it's not like all of customer service is one area and marketing's another.
Oh, really?
Like, everybody's just mixed in together, and you know you'll see like
that
coffee.
Seems like a nightmare. Is that a good idea?
It's great. Because
it mixes people from different disciplines.
Yeah, you want to know, you know, everybody that works at the company. And so you'll see, hey, I'm going out for a coffee train, and there'll be just a mix of people from all different departments. And I think because we all have that kind of thread of gaming that pulls us all together. And so it's like, it's the best place I've ever worked.
That's nice. Awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what do you, and you've worked before, name some of the places where you've worked before, because you've worked at some.
Yeah, yeah. I've worked at Google. Yeah. It's probably in YouTube.
Right.
And then I started with OpenFane, and we got bought by Gree, so I've worked for the Japanese company Gree.
Right.
And then, yeah, a couple of Computer Associates and some of the other larger consulting companies.
So what is what's your job? What's your day like? VP operations?
What is it you do here?
Yeah. What the hell do you do all day?
Yeah. I feel like I'm monopolizing messages. This. But yeah.
No, well, this is going to be, I should preface this with, this is going to be like a little bit different of a podcast. So we do have games to talk about, what we've been playing, which is normally what we do at the top of the show. But like with you here, there's a lot of stuff. We honestly don't have a ton of news this week. And we do have a couple games. We're going to talk about Mario Tennis. Who else has been played? Lumines Remastered a little bit. Summer Games Done Quick. And we have a little bit of news. No. But while you're here and stuff, there's just a lot of different points to talk about.
Okay. So for future operations people.
Yes.
I mean,
you kids who want to grow up and be either an astronaut or an operations guy.
It's like, or, you know, stuntman. operations. So my world is customer service, like I mentioned before, and it's finance, human resources, facilities, recruiting, like all of the things that kind of keep everything running in the back end.
Right.
And, you know, some of the customer-facing stuff on customer service and things like trust and safety.
Right. So you must be busy if you're hiring that many people and you have that many people using your service and customer service and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'll admit it, we have a very rigorous hiring process.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's the best place I've ever worked. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, if you're out there, take a look.
And you're here, though, not for work.
I am here not for work.
So why are we talking about your work this whole time, Steve?
Yeah, I know.
Come on.
God, I thought I escaped.
Take a break for once.
Jeez.
Would you please?
No.
Just unplug.
Yeah, I'm trying.
You gotta unplug.
I was unplugged. You just plugged me back in.
I know. I'm pulling the plug again.
See, I'm gonna be like, you know, I'm gonna be like the Switch or the PS4. Just plug it in. And
we'll try your, we'll do the due process on
just
you as well.
Make
we'll
sure
check
you
your
hold
AC adapter.
Hold
it out for 20 seconds. Yeah.
So if I stop talking for the rest of the podcast, and I've apparently I need to get sent to Nintendo.
So what are you doing this week now that you're not here working? What are you doing in Tokyo?
You know, I didn't have a plan, really. This is kind of last minute trip.
Yeah.
And it's really just to sort of get away and reset a little bit.
Cool.
So of course it's right in the middle of summer, and it's been like murderously hot and
it's
humid
pretty
here.
It has. It's going to get worse, though.
Oh, okay.
It's going to get a lot
worse.
That's
awesome.
No, yeah. You did get here when it started finally getting summer in Tokyo, but it actually today, because the typhoon is rolling in, it was actually really nice.
Yeah. All we need is a little natural disaster. Kind of
exactly. One or two.
Cool,
you know,
things off a little bit.
Yeah, level things up.
Yeah, I haven't been doing much. I think I just hit sort of some of my usual haunts, I guess, that I've seen before. I've been eating a lot of food.
What are your usual? Tell us about your usual haunts. I think they'll be very much of interest to people in this podcast.
I mean, I'll kind of skim through Akiba just to see what's, you know, what inventory looks like, what's for sale, and so
what prices are like.
Yeah, what prices are like.
Any surprises?
I mean, the box games are disappearing as fast as we expected. Like, there's a lot of loose games. So there's more loose games than I think there have been in the past. Like, I've come when it's like there just seems to be almost nothing at Super Potato, and they're just kind of throwing things in there to fill up the shelf space. But it seems like a lot of that's coming in. But like anything boxed, it's not in good shape anymore. Arcade flyers started popping up, which I hadn't seen a whole lot of before. Mm. You'll start seeing some like the PC-98, X68000, FM Towns. Like, that stuff used to be pretty niche, and you're starting to see maybe more of it.
Why do you think that is? Do you think it's because they're running out of the box stuff, so they need to fill it with something?
Well, it's probably that.
They're getting older?
Yeah, it's maybe some of that, and I think there's a lot of people who have sort of completed collections, and it's like, what do I buy now?
Right.
And like, oh, here's some new stuff to buy.
The
right.
And the weird stuff.
Yeah. And yeah. I was talking to the owner of
like you. Game I Art. Can't even imagine what like gets you excited these
well,
days.
Well, I mean, that, like... I bought one thing right so on this trip, and I don't even.
Flip. What was that one thing?
It was the flyer for Computer Othello.
Which I saw was, you tweet yeah. about this, so which was the first Nintendo...
It was the first video game made by Nintendo R&D1. And
I've seen one of those in the flesh. Yeah, the Chocon has one of those. Yeah. And like that
is that like 78?
78, okay. Yeah.
That flyer is amazing. The first thing I thought, which is a weird thing to think, but the thing I thought when I saw your tweet about it was... Where are those people now who are in that flyer? It's just like there's like a dude with a rad suit and a crazy haircut in the back, and then there's like a girl up front. No, they're not. They're
all
dead.
No, 78.
They're like 30 in 78. Like, come on.
So they're like 60, 70 now.
Yeah,
this is Japan. That's like yeah. barely midlife.
Yeah. The one thing I like about the flyer is that, you know, it's all these people like in a cafe and they're all playing Othello,
yes. except and smoking.
For this, and smoking. Except for this one woman in the back that's just like. Holding a coffee cup.
Oh,
like,
really?
There's nothing. She's not in front of a game. She's just there.
The 70s were like,
watching
man.
The boys.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
So that was the thing I got excited about.
Would that set you back? Just out of curiosity.
It was like $200. Yeah. I spend a lot of money on pieces of paper nowadays.
Right. Right. Just, you're into the real. Well, because as part of, I guess this is like a good segue. I think we talked to you about this a bunch last time you were on the show, but the Video Game History Foundation.
Yeah.
With a friend of the show, Frank Cifaldi.
Micah is on the board of that. Yeah,
nice.
Simon Carlos.
What are you guys up to there these days?
I think one of the coolest things we did was we launched last year the Writing Fund. So we have a portion of our fund set aside to support writers, and they pitch us like, "Hey, I want to do articles about whatever," and they can use foundation resources, so all of the research or raw materials that we have, and they just kind of create articles that. Nobody would fund nowadays,
right?
Like, there's no website. There's, you know.
What are some examples of ones that you guys have greenlit?
So we greenlit. There was someone who did. I apologize, I can't remember his name. He did a deep dive into the Aladdin source code for Genesis and found like mini games that never made it in there, and a lot of different rules and enemies.
Wow.
Kate Willert has done an amazing series on video game advertising. Through the years, like looking at like the very first advertising, like the Odyssey, and like how they advertise computer space.
That one looks. That one sounds really.
Yeah. So those are they're like super in depth, and they're all passion projects. And I'm just glad we're able to fund stuff like that because, as a hobbyist, you could probably write those articles, but this is like here's sort of financial motivation and support to do that.
Oh, that's. That sounds awesome. That's cool too. Aladdin, the Genesis version, the best version of Aladdin.
Yeah.
Actually,
I mean, I agree with you.
Okay, good. Yeah, so. I was fishing.
Yeah,
trying to make sure you were cool. You passed the test. So what else to talk about while you're here in Japan? You're playing a lot of crane games, hence all of our Kirby's here.
Yeah,
you're kind of a crane game master.
I got really good at UFO catchers the last time. Because the last time I was here, I was here for almost 2 months, right? Like a month and a half. And
you were
like,
here for a spell. It was over the holidays.
Yeah. And I just kind of, I just watched. I think that what I tell
people is... that when you got good? Was that your superhero, like, Genesis story?
I was pretty good at it before, but I think I was spent enough time in game centers that I got a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
The way I tell a lot of people, it's like... The reason I think I'm much better at it now is because I watch a lot of people lose, right?
Right.
You see enough people, like, fail.
Well, you wrote a really good article. I mean, I think a lot of people would be surprised that you can get good at a UFO catcher.
Yeah.
What do they call crane game?
Crane games.
Crane games in the U.S., yeah. Crane UFO game. Catcher here is, I think, pretty common.
There's also, YouTube accounts devoted to, teaching you the tricks.
Yeah, there are. There's,
okay.
like...
That makes sense.
Yeah, there's, like, all these, it's, like, this subculture.
Give the top five highlights, because I know we talked about this last time a little bit, and you now have a pretty in-depth article, like, on your Twitter feed that people can find. And
yep.
I guess, apparently, there's YouTube videos explaining it, but what's your, like, high-level, just give
high
the,
level,
the big...
Like don't walk up to any machine unless you've seen someone play it, because you can see like where does the crane lose its grip, like how does it move around? Does it move around?
So that I didn't know, by the way, reading your thing. So the crane actually like loosens its grip at some point.
Almost all of them, without fail, will loosen at some point.
See, I didn't know
that. It's whether or not it's when it's like sometimes I think the best way to put it is like it like right when it grips, like right. when it lands and tries to grip, that's its strongest grip, and then it sort of loosens over time. A lot right. of times it's like really strong until it like hits the top,
and
then it loosens. Or yeah. sometimes it's like gets to the top, and once it starts moving, it loses it. And so you want to watch.
It's
for
really
all of
interesting,
that.
And sometimes
sounds
like
cheap.
It's
super cheap.
Part yeah. of the crane,
yeah.
Loses,
one
sometimes the
that's
right
like strong
side.
Side, weak side. Yeah. So
that's really interesting. I was yeah. I completely never knew that. I mean, I never was any good at those games, so I gave yeah. up very early yeah. on them. But. I will say, while we're on this subject, mm-hmm. so when I was a youth and like I needed money, I needed tokens to play Street Fighter 2. Did you ever get into Jungle Jive?
Yeah.
Did you guys? I don't know if you guys have ever seen these things where they're like. So it had to be a token based arcade, and if you could use money or tokens, I forget which, maybe both, but it was like a. Not a slot machine, but kind of like a pachinko style deal that your token would land in a big pile of other tokens and maybe potentially push some tokens off of like a moving platform that was moving in and out.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So your token would fall in and maybe land at the right time and it would push other tokens forward that would fall into like a receptacle that
yeah.
would then you yeah. would get.
Yeah.
And that was basically the only way I could play Street Fighter was that when you know what you're doing with that machine, it's actually very easy to find the right condition
mm-hmm.
of like overhanging tokens that are ready to fall off. Time it right where you drop it in and you drop it in the right place and then push in like, you know, like get 10 times your money and tokens very, very easily.
Well, in these, I mean, I brought these Kirby's because I'm not taking them home. For me, it's more like catch and release.
It's the sport.
Right. It's a sport, right?
No, it's really cool. That's one of the things I think is awesome is that you give them to the... you make very clear the parents,
the parents of the children.
Were trying to get stuff in the crane game.
I drive up in my van.
That's
and I
right.
Open it
yeah.
up, and all it is UFO catcher prizes. And
yes,
like,
exactly.
Hey, it's this Mexican Kirby.
Right. Are the parents like immediately like, wait, why are you doing
yeah,
this?
No,
this is weird.
Especially in Japan, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's, you know.
Right.
Like,
why are you talking to me in the first place?
You just walked up to me and started talking
and
giving me something. I'm really
right.
uncomfortable.
What is it? What are you in this for?
Right,
what am
right.
I? What are you getting out of this or whatever? But
so,
that's super cool. You're like a Santa Claus. You like the kid who did not win but was trying
that,
to win the thing.
Yeah.
And then you were able to like give it to him. That must be like an like amazing feeling.
That is that's actually one of the thing that I really I watch like little kids and especially like the smaller machines that are kind of geared towards kids.
Yeah.
And, those are still rigged, right? They're not going to win every time. And so you see them kind
of,
you know, put in like 300-400 yen.
Do you get concerned looks from the parents when you're watching these kids play?
You just kind of see them right out of the corner. Right? It's like, oh, that you know that person has played a couple games and not won. And
sure.
then, so you're just able to
get breathing heavy over their shoulder.
Yeah.
You feel their breath on their neck.
Yeah, I know
the feeling.
Right.
Yeah. Do you ever see the kid get it and you're like, yes,
I love seeing people win. I put that in there. Like when you see, especially like families and something drops into the prize bin and they're all like jumping up and cheering, like I love watching those.
But on the other hand, it must be hard, like watching a junkie like shoot up when you see somebody and they've obviously put in like $50 for like a $10 piece of shit.
Yeah.
Not that these Kirby dolls are not, you know, worth $50, $100. They're very nice here. I'm just petting my Mexican Kirby. But but it must be hard also when you see somebody that's just like, guy, like just.
Well,
just
there's somewhere I know they're not going to win.
Yeah.
And I want to walk up and say, like, to stop.
Yeah.
Just stop playing.
Well,
you will not win this.
What is it? Sunken cost?
Sunk cost fallacy.
Yeah. Fallacy where you're like, well, fuck, I've already spent $10, so I might as well spend like $2 more. There's like, there's a lot of bad psychology working on that funds those crane games. There's a lot of reasons why there's still a shitload of crane games.
Yeah, they stay
in
business for a reason, right?
Exactly.
You're not winning these humongous prizes.
Some of them
are
good about, though, like the people who work there, like, somehow pay attention
they'll
to it, and they
you.
Know
yeah, yeah.
they know when you've sunk a lot in, and they'll like rearrange it for you, and they'll be like,
that's
"Get it right
tips.
Here,
yeah,
poke it right here."
So you can ask them to sometimes they'll reset it, or they'll tell you how to win. And then there are a couple places that do kind of like this, like I don't even know what it's called in Japanese, but almost like a. Mad like a fire sale type thing, and they'll move all the prizes to easier to win like configurations for
a
real short time. It's like that scene in like Ocean's 13 where everybody's just like winning, like that happens. And then
you're assuming that anybody here has seen Ocean's 13,
yes.
Steve.
Good movie.
All right, there you go.
Return of the trilogy.
Yes. Ocean's 8.
Did anybody see that the new one?
No.
I want to.
No.
Okay. I do want to.
Yeah, Solo just came out here last week.
It took a while. Dude, that's fast. Welcome to Japan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Japan is the ass end of the movie industry.
But literally. Star Wars is usually same day. But
yeah,
Solo,
that's
just
true. I saw Rogue One up in Cape Soya in Japanese on launch.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah. So I have something written down here. I think I'm going to regret bringing this up, but just to check it off my list. It says McDonald's here for some reason. Graham's been so quiet.
Graham.
We should get Graham talking here.
I mean,
throw you a bone.
I wasn't going to say anything, but Steve,
yes,
ledge that he is, came in today. He was like, hey, have you tried that new pork burger?
Yeah.
Pork burger.
The bacon McPork.
Bacon, that's what it's called.
Bacon, yeah, it's called the bacon McPork.
It's like
that's like that. Like,
I like it.
Well, yeah, because there's two like,
people call
types
things like
pork.
Oh, like burger. Chatty McChatterson yeah, over exactly. here is Bodie really won't shut things. Up. It's like, oh, bacon McPork over here.
Sandwich McSandwich.
What the hell? Wow, that's actually a pretty great name.
Yeah, the bacon McPork.
And
Steve had it on the way over.
Yeah, so, yeah. I did.
What the hell is it?
Okay, so it's. My understanding is it's kind of like the McRib.
You've eaten it, but you're still
wait,
not
no, no, no,
quite
I
sure.
I got a couple preferences here. I guess it's kind of like the McRib of Japan in that it was out before, like 5-10 years ago, and then disappeared, and now it's coming
back.
See,
that's back. The fresh thing about McDonald's. They're always mixing up their menu. So even if it's like a regular item, they'll take it away for
not
a while.
Sure fresh is the adjective.
Then when it comes back, it's brand new again. Yes. But so we had a different item on the menu, the yaki. It was the shogayaki burger, which was a regular burger for a while. That went away, and now we got our McPork buddy.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you think that's a good trade-off?
Well, I mean, I haven't actually tried it yet, but I like the yaki
what?
A lot.
We haven't gotten the report yet.
Yeah. Okay. So
let's hear
couple,
about the
couple things here.
Mr. McPork.
It's kind of like
bacon.
The reason the McRib doesn't show up all the time on the menu is because pork prices fluctuate pretty wildly, and so that's why. You know,
that why?
McDonald's like
I love that
I thought
you know
it was because
this.
You ate one and you like hate yourself for. Like,
I mean, there's
six
that
months,
too.
No, okay, both
years.
Of you, calm down.
Yeah.
Calm
all right.
Down. All right. it's because the yaki, the McRib, and the new guy, they're totally different. They're
yeah,
three
yeah.
different flavors of burg.
Yeah.
Of course.
Right. Why need
everybody's arguing that?
The last caveat. I have not eaten at a McDonald's anywhere in over a year.
Oh,
okay.
Like, you might be feeling rough tomorrow.
Yeah, so
you're gonna feel it's Japanese McDonald's.
Yeah, I tried the bacon McPork. I took three bites.
Oh.
And I stopped eating.
Whoa!
Yes,
it
Graham,
is.
In your face, backfired. Boom!
It is so salty.
Yes,
and I think that might be. So I'm kind of wondering, like, how much of this is like McDonald's in general,
yes.
and how much of it was this? It's basically like the breakfast sausage patty.
Oh.
With like teriyaki sauce.
Oh, okay.
We literally the breakfast sausage patty.
It might be slightly different, but I can't because
that is
first,
you just described
first
a very
of all,
scary thing.
First
the
of
gun
all,
just blew up in your hand.
First of all,
just exploded in your fucking hand.
First of all, it's black pepper sauce.
Just lick your wounds.
It's black pepper sauce.
Lick your salty wounds.
Lick your salty ass wounds.
Well, look, I mean, these folks from like the Bay Area, they're eating their organic foods. They're
my
all back in
it tasted nothing
stuff.
Like my
the
avocado
rich
toast.
Hole. Yes. Your avocado toast. Your
the
like
avocado toast.
Avocado
yeah,
toast.
Yeah.
Avocado
what I'm saying McToast. Is that you've been living the bar life for
table.
So long, you
yeah.
forgot what the streets taste like.
And it tastes
this is
like
how the streets,
people. Literally.
This is how
like
the streets.
It's like somebody spilled salt on the yeah, streets.
I differed that from up there on top of the Discord
I was
tower.
At Shibuya Crossing and it's licked the concrete.
Yes.
And
exactly.
Like, oh,
literally
the
streets.
Well, look, you can't slum with the people down here in Shibuya and not eat like they eat.
Yeah.
You came here to enjoy the food of the locals.
I wanted to try. I mean, I was very surprised at
yeah.
how salty it was.
Yes.
And so I think that just threw me
sure,
off.
Sure, sure. We do
right.
like we do like
while
yourself,
we're talking, dude. While we're having a little burger corner here,
yeah.
Fat Burger has right. reached Japan.
Ooh.
Oh yeah,
and we all tried it.
I give it a
have
six.
Have you had Fat Burger before?
No,
I had it once and wasn't like a big fan of it. Like I didn't dislike it, but I didn't have a good association.
Yeah,
with it.
I think it's overrated.
Yeah,
but
this is super.
It's L.A.
decent
it's like,
normal. Burger, I would say. Yeah, would you say six? I would give
I would
it like
say
a seven.
For
seven
Japan,
and a half.
I would give
six,
it.
Five.
I would give it higher because it
really?
Did not have. Well, I don't like the like. One of the things that the Japanese burgers do is they overspice the patty.
True.
They feel like it has to be like if you just ate the patty itself, it would taste amazing. But it's just too spicy and salty. Not spicy hot, but just spicy. This burger is not that way. There's a good balance, but it's not. It doesn't like. Knock it out of the park. It's not like an In-N-Out.
Where does Shake Shack Japan like
Shake
rank
Shack
in your...
Japan is great.
Shake Shack Japan,
it's probably
a
solid 8.
I give it an 8.5 or a 9.
Yeah. All right. It ranks higher than Fat Burger for sure.
There's no
especially
Shake Shack
the smoke
in the Bay
Shack.
Area, so I go to Shake Shack here.
Oh, that's so weird that they're not dumb. In the Bay Area.
No, yeah.
It's very East Coast.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, it's a super East Coast thing.
But it's fucking in Japan now. Yeah, like, yeah. If it's spread to Japan, I just figured they'd have one around there.
Like you said, it's we don't have a lot of chain stuff in San Francisco. It's really hard to open that.
Sure,
stuff.
Yeah.
We have an Aputo.
There's an
now,
In-N-Out.
Yeah, yeah.
There's an In-N-Out.
There's an In-N-Out.
Which I fucking In-N-Out. Wish In-N-Out. They would ever come to Japan.
It's In-N-Out's overrated.
In-N-Out's good.
Yeah, that's I kind of feel like the two Fatburger and In-N-Out are kind of on the same level for burger quality.
Well, I mean,
In-N-Out
made
better...
has like a bigger cult following. Yeah. Like, I mean, just it's blasphemy for us to say it's overrated.
I would say In-N-Out is better than Fatburger.
But like by a small margin.
I will.
It's not as good as.
Have you tried? What?
It's not as good as Shake Shack, obviously.
Okay.
I mean, I would argue that.
Have you had Henry's Burger in Daikanyama?
No.
Okay. That's, I think, the closest equivalent to In-N-Out in Tokyo, at least, that I've had. And that's...
It's all Wagyu, right?
Like, yeah. It's really good. It's all like A5 rank Wagyu.
What?
Yes.
What? There's no way.
Oh, wait, no, there's that A5 steak sandwich in New York. Did you all see that?
No.
So it's cut. It's like a A5 Wagyu... Katsu, right? Steaks out done Japanese style. Mm. It's $185.
That sounds about right.
Jesus,
that's about what it costs. Yeah.
Yes, and whoever is like, you know, the broker, you know, it's like
the one thing I will say about Henry's, which is otherwise
steak sandwich.
Yeah, which is otherwise amazing. Actually, there's a Henry's in Akihabara as well.
Oh,
I think there's only maybe two of them.
There's also a Carl's Jr. in Akihabara.
That's true.
Carl's
Jr.
is lower than Fatburger.
Yeah,
this,
Carl's Jr. is
Carl's Jr.'s got some lit shit in Japan, man. It's different in Japan.
Barely above McDonald's.
It's different. It's different in Japan. It's very different.
In Japan?
Yeah, they're trying to run as like a classy operation. Like if you go in, it's actually a very different vibe. They have all sorts of shit.
They have napkins and stuff.
It's
on
a, what do you call it? Carl? What's the other name for Carl's Jr.? There's like
Hardee's.
It's a Hardee's, right?
Yeah.
But they just put the Carl's Jr.
Correct.
Like name on it.
You know what is not in Japan? Arby's. There
yes,
no
I know.
Arby's
I wish
Japan.
There was one. Because I want to eat, eat Arby's like once a year. That once a year, I really want to eat Arby's.
What if it would be in like Hoya or something?
If you've been here long enough, though, like that happens. Like there was during my tour of duty, there was like a Quiznos, like a single Quiznos for a little while. There was a Nathan's.
Wendy's,
remember that
was
Nathan's
in
Harajuku for a little while.
The original opening of Wendy's when they were trying to be like super high scale and they had like. The foie gras burger. The foie gras.
That was
burger
not the original. That was like the second time. That was they had already lost once,
coming.
And then they came back.
They were like, "We're gonna do foie gras this time."
Yeah,
I had that burger. It was like $30.
I can't do foie gras.
$30.
A whole burger of foie gras seems like
I'm
it
like,
wasn't great.
I'm ethically opposed.
Oh, see, you know, they have no pain receptors in their throat. You can just shove all kinds of grain in their mouth.
But also for,
I had never heard that justification before. But
that version,
I might have to use that.
That version of Wendy's, they had Frosties though. When Wendy's came back the next time, no Frosties.
There's no, wait, they don't have Frosties.
Well, there's Frosties here.
What do you put dip your fries in?
But there's Wendy's.
Exactly,
there's
Steve.
Wendy's. So one, there's Wendy's now.
Yes, it's combined with First Kitchen.
Right. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But
which means
also,
you can get pasta with your burger if you want.
Oh, that
right?
Is that
it
First
is weird.
Like a test thing?
No, nope.
I don't think so.
No.
Oh, that they just call
that's
it.
Just what Wendy's.
I thought it been around forever.
Oh, I thought it was like a test kitchen. Nope. We're like, hey, we're gonna try this like elk burger or something.
The short form of their name is fucking.
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
First Kitchen.
Fucking.
Oh, boy.
So,
it's not a joke. It really
Starbucks.
Is.
For their sake, I'm saying, oh, boy.
Mistake that we all made when we ate at Fat Burger, which I have since rectified, is none of us got the chili cheese fries.
Okay. Oh, you went back. I was going to say, how the hell do you even know how the burger is? Because you didn't eat a burger the first time.
I know. I went back. Yeah. I had wings, which were very good.
Wings were solid.
It's hard to get good wings here.
And it is very hard to get good wings.
What do you go like Hooters or something?
TGI Fridays.
Hooters, TGI Fridays.
Yeah. You don't. If you want to go to Hooters, maybe. But yeah.
Well, I say that I've actually never been to Hooters in Japan, but I mean that is supposedly a go-to spot for wings. Yeah.
A friend of ours used to have his birthday party at
a
so
restaurant.
I've been at. I'll tell you after the show. Who.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a guess.
You don't. It's not who you're guessing. But now I'm really curious. Who you think it is?
Yeah, so you're totally wrong.
Poor bastard. I really want to know. But yes, the chili cheese fries, A+. In fact, right. I think it elevates the entire like Fatburger Japan experience.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Do we
segue
are we
back?
Supposed to talk about video games.
Maybe every once in a while, on accident, only ever on accident.
I mean, we're going to talk about Sneak King or
people
something.
Just complain when we talk about video games.
Well, I do want to actually talk about combining here food and, well, bars and drinks and video games, but
there you go.
Gaming bars.
Yes.
So you have been to a few?
I've been to a bunch. Yeah.
And it's a kind of a hot topic right now because a bunch of bars just got, a bunch of people got arrested actually in Kobe. And maybe
in
one
Nagoya?
In Kyoto?
Osaka, too.
Osaka, yeah.
Osaka, I think they just got told, like, you need to shut down. But the other guys actually got arrested. Somebody said, like, when your lease runs out, you need to end this.
Oh, the
but
landlords were?
Other places, no. The government association, which is like...
A-S-S.
Yeah,
something.
Exactly. It's basically Nintendo and Sony.
Yeah. Maybe it might be assholes. So that's our new acronym.
But, yeah, I think... I mean, it's a... It's a weird gray area, which has never been, like, expressly legal, and it's never been expressly illegal, but the idea is, you know, when you go to a gaming bar...
I don't think it's that gray. I think it's
No,
illegal.
There is a law,
and I think they just never really enforced it.
Why are they suddenly cracking down on
What's
it?
What's the law?
Well, exactly. Copyright. It's like when they say, you know, you can't, you know, screen a movie, you know, or whatever.
Express like, written can... like permission from the NFL, right? Like
right,
that
but what is
thing.
The exact like? It, so I can invite
it's copyright
you.
Copyright violation. You're showing.
No. But what is the like the number of people that can be doing it?
No,
or
it's paying
like,
money. So people are paying money and then playing games in the bar. And so,
but I can say that you're paying money for the drink, and then there just happens to be my system there. Like I'm just curious of the exact legal. Because, like, my understanding was what they actually got busted for was running tournaments. And there you're saying, hey, pay this entry fee for a tournament that I'm going to enter you in, which that makes sense to me because you can actually connect legally. Okay, you're charging money direct for...
Yeah, so I have here charged with violating the Japanese Copyright Act, specifically game publishers... you're going to have to say this.
Oh, Joey Ken.
Joey, screening rights. By showing games in a public setting, bars were breaking the law.
I see. So maybe it's just that the venue is considered a public venue by like Japanese zoning laws.
Yeah, well, it's like, you know, if I stream or I run a bar and I show like a pay-per-view boxing match.
How is that different than just like having a TV on, though?
It's unclear. I think
that's the part that I'm curious about. Or like if you stream that. Like if you're streaming playing a game, how is it different than having a game being played in the bar while you're... there. Like if I have a Twitch channel on with the Nintendo game,
right?
Or if somebody's in the corner playing it and everybody else is watching.
This is, I mean, we're getting into all the edge cases, right?
That's like, why I think the
what about or what if, right? But my understanding is the original, like the group that the bars that got raided were the ones that had kind of the newest equipment,
modern games,
Splatoon. Overwatch and Splatoon and stuff like that.
Well, I also heard they were renting
World.
Games.
Nintendo and Capcom are among the companies that are like basically. Part of this, like
but
going after
did you hear that they were renting games as well? So I listened to a podcast with friend of the show.
They can't rent games.
Alex Friole, and he was saying that that the places that got the warning letter, I think, were the places doing the tournaments. The places that got busted were the places that were renting games.
So like charging you $2 to play the game in the bar.
No, well, no, also you can take it home.
Well, that is
you know you can't do that.
That's dumbass if you did that.
Because like, we knew that 30 years ago.
Right. Because otherwise, there's got to be dozens, if not hundreds, of video game bars that you think you would hear them all get in trouble. But it seemed like there was a targeted few. But it seems like it's a very like. Uneasy piece.
Well, yeah, because like a lot of things in Japanese law, it's gray area. Like you'll go talk to one person and they'll tell you this is the law. You'll go talk to another person and that is the law. It's almost like the law is intentionally vague so as to just prevent people from fucking around with it.
Yeah, what I'm wondering is like now that we have this awful piece of hardware, the Switch, what's preventing you from taking your own Switch to a bar and now that's a game bar? Where if you're playing that in front of people...
These are the things that
What if I ran a game bar and I just had Switches sitting around?
Yeah, if there's a game
bar
and there's Switches in it, how can you prove that? Like, how is that your Switch? Maybe somebody just brought the Switch.
No, there is. I do wonder about this kind of stuff because the line between like
it's got to be something to do with the screen though, like being on a TV screen or a projector or something. It's being broadcast versus you just having your handheld with you. Like,
yeah,
they're not going to arrest like a bunch of kids for playing like 8-player Pokemon or something.
They
like,
haven't
with their
yet,
Game Boys.
They haven't yet. Well, haven't yet, John. Yeah. But it's a slippery slope.
I think was it 16 shot or something?
Yes.
You know, like actually removed all their televisions.
They did.
There was a bar that did. I saw Brian Ashcraft wrote an article.
Yeah,
about 16 shots. Did
no, 16 shot is in Shinjuku. It was a place in Osaka that did. did it, though. Oh. Yeah.
That's fucked up, though. That's so sad.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, it's a promotion. Like
16 shot. I've seen you on the screen in 16 shot, Mark. Like, yeah. Literally, we were in 16 shot once a bunch of years ago.
And they were like, playing hey, wait, game video footage. It's like, because, like, they're playing G4 videos.
You,
and
can,
like,
you can sue for.
That's right.
That's got to be some screen
drink. The Mark McDonald screening.
Forcing people to watch Mark, that's got to be against the law.
I know. I mean, if you want to get busted, like, that's.
And 16 shots has been around for an age.
Yeah. I went to A Button yesterday.
Okay.
Last night.
So I had never heard of A Button before you tweeted about it.
So he's been open for, I think, like 10, 11 years now.
Okay. Where are they located?
They're in Akihabara.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like off the kind of beaten
path. Let's not get too specific.
Well, I tweeted about it.
Exactly.
With the location.
Did the owner? You talked to the owner.
Yeah,
right?
I talked to the owner, and he was saying like it really is about. I initially thought it was kind of maybe people playing the more modern games, like Splatoon 2. I think is probably throws a big target on your back, you know, mm-hmm. because of Nintendo Monster Hunter for sure.
Right.
So he doesn't actually have any games like running in there anymore. It's just like. Stuff like all over the walls and everything,
right?
And
you can't.
It's a game themed bar.
Yeah, it's
a game
theme. Exactly, right?
Yeah.
And I think that you know what was it in that Ashcraft article? They interviewed what's his name, Mark, the guy who runs Space Station.
Yeah.
And
in Osaka,
and he said like he pulled out like the 360 and Switch and all like the newer machines.
Oh, really?
And so now he just has like the Famicom and like, right
it's
around
so
the
fucked
bar.
Up. It's so
he closed the bar for a little while, and what he said was that he was while he had it closed, he's basically replacing equipment with PCs, and then he was going to reopen.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm going there tomorrow.
PC okay. Masteries.
And I'm kind of going in there to.
Everybody goes in that direction.
I mean, is this the last time I'm going to be at Space Station, right? I don't know.
Man.
I think, you know, I mean, if he's doing that stuff, he'll probably be fine. But he was also talking about just having indie games available, for example.
Yeah,
like stuff
Limbo,
that people aren't going to be dicks about it, you know. So.
Man, that. Well, okay, yeah. A, this sucks. But B, I feel like this is like when streaming and YouTube became a thing where people were not yet sure.
Like Atlas.
Yeah, exactly. Where they're like, oh, how do we deal with this?
Terrible.
Oh, wait, are we giving our thing away for free? It's like, okay, hold on. Like, look at how much revenue you're actually, quote unquote, you think you're losing compared to what is the effect of if I go to a gaming bar and I see somebody playing Splatoon 2, like, do I really think that they're not going to, if they like the game, if the game is good, if they would have bought it anyway, that they're not going to then buy it? Or the other 10 people in the bar are not going to see it and be exposed to it and think, hey, it's cool. Like, this is what Twitch is all about.
There's a gross
now.
Misunderstanding of that entire concept in this country.
Right. Yeah, the discovery.
Which is kind of a new thing, so I get that it takes time to adapt to that. But you would think that with Twitch and YouTube kind of having done a lot of the hard work in that, you'd think that people would see it as a more.
No, I mean,
but you see it in other areas of games here too. It's not, this is not new. Like, for example, let's say you worked on a game, like you programmed, you're a programmer on a game. You work at, you know, company whatever S, and you worked on you programmed their game, and you're like the main programmer in the game. In America, when you're done with that game, you're going to get like a box to give to your family, your friends, blah, blah, blah. In Japan, literally got to buy your own copy. Like, they don't even give you a single
copy. You're lucky if you get
a
discount.
Yeah, exactly. And like, that to me is like a complete just misunderstanding. Like, you're not seeing the forest for the trees. Like, it's like you're basically like missing out on the opportunity to reward your people. You're missing out on the opportunity to make people feel, you know, see the game and be like in these bars and stuff, see the game and be like, you know, exposed to it. It's like, that's a thing that's been going on in this country forever. I don't think it's new. I don't think it's going to change.
Yeah, I mean, you can imagine, like, you know, a lawyer for one of these companies, like, walking, like, hearing about a game bar where, like, oh, all these people are playing Splatoon 2 for free. Like, what the fuck? Like, shouldn't they be buying their own copies? Like,
I mean,
there's this
venue. I get it to some degree, though. I mean, you wouldn't want, like, a bar that's literally, like, 24 hours Splatoon 2 all the time.
Well, here, what I will say to give the other, maybe the other side of the argument or devil's advocate, and I don't know enough about the legal stuff not to say this, but there is, you know, like, you have to enforce certain claims a lot of times, stuff with copyright and stuff like that. If you don't enforce it, then you can kind of lose some of your rights on it.
I don't know
if it is a matter of like, okay, once it becomes so flagrant, we have to actually flex on it, or else like you could literally just start these like parlors where there's just a booth and you come in and you play your time to play the game.
Well, I mean, you look at like something like Star Club, right? Where it's like, hey, you have a pipe, a brick wall, and a yellow star. Like, this is so close to copyright infringement. Like, it's not
what
even
the hell
funny.
Is Star Club?
Star Club's a bar up in, I think it's Shinjuku.
Let's not get too specific.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, I mean,
oh, that's the place that used to be called, like, the Mario Bar or something.
Yeah,
like
the
that,
Mario. Right? And so then you turn, like, you turn all the stars to, like, red stars.
Oh,
right. And
really?
I think it's just like, you're in the other one, one of the places that got shut down was called, like, Famicom.
Meanwhile,
Club.
Fucking like, Mario Kart is so going right so, through yeah, 20 at times lunch. A fucking day.
We were talking about this at lunch today because we were like, does Japan not have better issues to tackle than this?
No.
So we decided.
They really don't. Like, this is the other side of having, like, a low crime rate.
Well, Roy,
you know, and all this shit. Is that they don't. But, Roy, are you saying they should not be worried about this?
No, so I would say.
It's a public fucking nuisance.
I gotta dial this back.
All right.
When I said.
We all hate Mario Kart.
Yeah, we
okay,
all
good.
Hate
okay, I was like, yeah. Are you fucking gonna sit here and defend
no,
Mario Kart? Because we're about
I
to throw
saw a guy in a car
down.
Almost run down a pedestrian over
I believe
the
it.
Passing.
Yes!
Because
I believe it.
Fucking clueless idiot tourists that don't know what the fuck they're doing and can't drive in Japan in the first place.
You don't even need a license.
Put them in a fucking go-kart. They're in a fucking go-kart. They're like a foot off the ground.
And
like their head is a foot off the ground.
I saw a truck driver.
Roads.
Yeah, I think,
yeah,
I think
on,
you'll...
In
I think,
the middle of fucking Shibuya. Like, fuck off.
Well, so we
fuck
did...
Fuck off.
So I think you'll like the decision we made at lunch.
Okay, good. Does it involve IEDs? Because that's all I can think about every
it
fucking
can.
Time.
I mean, maybe that's going to
I see them.
Well, let me
okay.
get to the... So we decided that 8-4 is going to become like a crime-fighting, like a vigilante 18? Force.
Yes, now
where
now
we're going to combat the Mario Kart people.
I am.
We're going to
dropkick them off their carts or something.
Well, we're going to like stay after work late, train. We're each going to pick like an identity. Graham is going to be the zeroer because he's going to throw empty
strong
zero
cans
at him.
Yeah.
At them.
Yeah.
No.
And like so maybe you're the
nice.
Maybe you're
no.
the
here's no, what
you're
going to
like spike strips.
Here's what we're going to do, Dermot. You're going to cut this part out of the podcast later. All right. What we're going to do is fucking can of nails and an explosive, and when they go over it, it's going to explode and nails are going to fly into every fucking little plush Yoshi fucking outfit wearing tourist face, and they're going to scream and shout, and they're going to put pictures of that on Twitter, and then it's going to fucking take probably about a week and probably about 12 explosive devices, and it's probably going to kill about 6 or 7 people.
There's collateral damage.
Sure.
You just want
it. It sounds a lot
localized.
Less whimsical, though.
You gotta break some eggs, Steve.
No, you gotta break some eggs.
Some eggs will be broken.
I can't believe Mark and I agree on something.
This omelet, this omelet is gonna get made.
You do that. You do that like pneumatic tube. Right, that just shoots straight up. Like it's a thing they use in special effects houses to make like cars slip over.
Yeah,
yeah. And so you just wait till one of the carts go over that, and you just like flip.
Steve,
a bunch
Steve's trying to think about how to not hurt innocent people.
Yeah.
We're way past that.
Yeah.
You don't live here.
I don't deal with it every day. Yeah. I just saw it once.
You don't live
so,
here.
Yeah, yeah.
If you lived here,
wow.
Yeah,
you guys really got
that fast. Can of nails.
Graham is actually.
I've gotten in there way before. There's that one stretch, like on the way to Pizza Slice. Is a really narrow. Street along.
Wait, yes. they drive down that road?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
So whenever they go down there, like, there was a time where I actually just walked really slowly.
That's like a blind corner, right?
No. It's like a straight shot all the way, like, along the train tracks.
Okay.
You can just go the
along the train tracks.
All
okay.
the way to
Perfect.
Pizza Slice.
Right. So you could potentially
there,
have a very
just...
long view with a remote control.
No. You know what you... Actually, this is
plausibly far away.
You
Steve's really trying to save lives here.
No, no. This is not
Steve's like, no, there's like a pillow that falls in front of
Listen.
Okay.
Giant straightaway, they're going to get some speed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you do, like, the high tensile fishing line
across.
Now
we're
right at hand height.
Steve, now we're talking.
And when they hit max
you got me.
Speed.
Yes.
And then all of
right
a sudden.
Right around neck level.
Right around neck level.
No,
and then you have a
cut the podcast.
Toad, yeah.
We just got really grim.
Toad hat and the head. See it in my head, in my mind's eye right now, just floating in the air with just blood. It's like
the
beautiful.
Arterial spray.
Yes. Like extra spots.
It's
like
it's,
on the toad hat. The half of them, you like, don't
it's
know
like
which
Kingsman,
ones are spots and which
right?
ones
you just have,
wow,
like,
it's
the, or, like,
poetic.
The blood.
Yeah.
Oh, my
podcast
God.
Is rated AO.
Okay, yeah. This can be used as evidence against us. So we need to make sure to, like, not only that, but smash the hard drive.
Instagram, like, boomerang video.
Yes, and then social media would spread it the other way. I've seen that the most popular, by far, like, number one with a bullet, what the hell the expression is, yeah, is that fucking Mario Kart.
Oh, God.
The
what
number one,
well,
like,
because, no,
Japanese
because, what?
Experience.
Yeah, no,
like,
no.
Because
it's the head driver. He deliberately carries the phone of the people that he's guiding, and like, at all their stops, he turns around to take all the photos.
Oh, that's smart.
Like, they
do that
they
too.
Spread virally that way, right?
So
that's their whole.
So we have to time the explosion to happen. Exactly. All right,
we got games to talk about here.
Exactly when that's going to happen. We do have a few games. Let's talk about those. Speaking of Toad, Mario Tennis. Yeah, some people playing Mario Tennis. Steve, you brought your Switch.
I downloaded
your working Switch.
My working Switch.
Mine works too.
Mine does too.
Ton of games on there.
How about that?
Yeah, I touch mine. So many games that I can play. Real quick side. My plane flight here. I downloaded it before the flight. I was going to play it like on the plane.
Sure.
10 seats across. Right. 3-4-3.
Nice.
And 7 people had Switches. In my row.
Are you
kidding? I wanted to get a photo, but nobody... It was like they weren't lining up, right? In terms of like people pulling... I just realized like everybody had a Switch and nobody had the neon Joy-Cons. We were all like black.
That's amazing. Wow.
But yeah, it was one of those crazy things. Like, we all have Switches here.
Wake up, sheeple.
I mean, this is San Francisco to...
I was going to say,
San Francisco to Tahaneda, right? Yeah. I mean, so like...
But even so,
odds are...
Anywhere in the fucking world, that flight, that is amazing.
It was really cool.
I want to start a new business selling Switches at airports. Like,
that Best Buy thing that big, probably that, sells like, it.
The vending machine.
So
probably for like $600 too.
Yeah, we'll see. Anyway, so I played it first time on the plane. I played the quest,
the main story,
thing.
Which is kind of one of the exciting things about that it has a
Like World Court Tennis on mode. TurboGrafx, right? Remember that had a little quest in it too.
No,
yeah, there's a tennis RPG built into World Court Tennis on the TurboGrafx.
Mario Golf is my touchstone, is my closest equivalent.
Really, not Game Mario Boy, Tennis,
Game Boy Color. No, because golf did it first. You fucking idiot.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Whoa, 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 tennis whoa, game. Whoa,
whoa. God damn it.
You're getting way louder
than
you're
going to be the only one mad here,
buddy,
Graham.
Buddy.
You can be the only one mad here.
We're talking about a story mode, a tennis game. You're like, well, a golf game did it.
Because Dragon Quest, that's the one that everybody talks about when they talk about a sport game having the fucking story mode, okay? Uh-huh. That's the first one that really did it. What did it first?
That's true.
What did it first, Graham?
World Court Tennis.
Oh, God damn it. Also, game. You know what? Besides that one.
Also,
what's the one that anybody knows? That anyone's ever heard of.
Unreleased Hit the Ice for Famicom and NES.
Wait, that never came out?
No.
I remember the ads for it.
Oh, yeah. So oh, yeah. No, sorry. Off, right? Yeah. Sorry, it did. I prototypes didn't release.
Two things.
Mario Golf.
So there like is, I said, it has a
Mario
hockey
Golf
RPG
came out.
Yeah. Hockey RPG
in Hit the Ice for the NES. Anyway,
Mario Golf. That's
so
the one
I was playing the quest mode. I don't know if it's because I just had it in portable mode, but the game is really like a fighting game, right? It's not. I think a lot of people have said like, oh, it's like virtual tennis. Like, it's not that, because virtual tennis for me is like more like sort of. Tennis as tennis.
It's very technical,
right?
Yeah,
it's very technical. And this one has like, you know, the trick shots and the power shots and everything.
Yeah.
And you have to do like weird things to activate all these modes. And this is me sounding old, but it's like I don't really want to deal with that. And a lot of the quest is, you know, do this challenge. And they were like punishingly difficult.
Do you have an example?
That's what I've heard.
Score 5.
Well, it's more like 100. Like, this thing, like, do it 100. Like, get 100, and so you'll...
I have heard a lot of the reviews are out there saying that it's harder than you would think.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going for the Smash crowd a little
but
bit.
But a lot of people are loving this game to the point way more than I thought. Like, I was thinking this would not make much of a blip, but I see tons of people talking about it.
I think it's one of those games that's very polarizing, right? Mm. Like, if you like sort of that technical aspect of, like, you know, Smash or something, I think you would probably love this game, because there's a lot of that in there.
But not if you like the technical aspect of virtual tennis?
Or tennis?
If you like a real tennis game, you're not going to like this one? Is that what you're saying?
I didn't play anything but the quest mode either, so I don't know what if there is, like, just a straight-up normal tennis mode. I did see somebody tweeting asking for one, so maybe there's not. But like,
I don't think there is.
It's not normal tennis. But it is.
You could play without the crazy rules, though.
I don't know because I only did the story mode. Yeah, I mean, I was on a plane. Right.
It seems like story mode would be there to teach you how to learn.
That's the thing. But I think it almost like leans into that a little too hard. It's like, oh, here's this new mechanic. Now do it 200 times.
Also, like when it started out, and I'm not complaining. I actually really like it. But like when it started out, like the beginning of the game. Is a lot of tutorial stuff, like, you know, first teaching you normal shots, then this shot and that shot, and it was like, this is cool, this is really cool, this is awesome, and then it was like, this is starting to be too much.
oh, I can do that too. It's like, oh god, this is stressful. Like, right, I can't remember all this. Like, yeah. Like, why are there so many things? Like, is this
you gotta
constantly teach
yourself?
So, like, they go from like trick shots, like right to power, or they go like power shots, trick shots, and they just like dump.
It's like that R button thing that like what I don't know what it's called. Well, it's just the trick shot where you like slow mo things and like flip over, and you gotta hit the ball at the perfect timing.
Yeah, so
or your
trick shot actually, you have to hit the R. You have to hit the R.
It's cool, but
analog stick, right? Which is. Like, do you hit it with your palm? Like, how are you supposed to do that? And I think they're like, oh, if you have like the joy, if you have it detached, or you have the pro controller, you do these. And so that's why I'm thinking like, I wish I had a pro controller because maybe I'll like it more.
Right. Yeah.
It's tough. It's like
hard when you're holding it in your hand and like trying to tilt it. And I mean, like I said, I'm on a plane. So
it's one of those games where I feel like, it's just me being old. I think like if I was like 16 and I had time, I would love the shit out of this game because there's so much to it. And there's so like, I could just see myself like spending a whole summer playing this game, but I have like a day to play it. Maybe if I'm lucky. And so like, it's kind of scary to me. Like it's too much, but it looks gorgeous. It looks really good. Control's amazing. Like it's, because the last Mario Tennis was kind of bad. Remember the Wii U one, like where they just like it was like half a game. It was barely like it did reviewed really poorly. Yeah. Like this was obviously like, okay, we got to get our shit together, and I think they did. But like,
speaking of how it looks good, I've seen some GIFs that made me half interested in it.
Yeah,
one is like
the racket breaking.
Well, no, so like there's maybe this is it, but like I've seen the Bullet Man, the big guy who's like just a big bullet.
I don't know
what their names are.
And he's like, I love Roy describing anything Mario related.
Guy with the L. Next podcast, we're going to print out just like a bunch of like well-known enemies and just like, Roy,
please do. I will name all of them.
That's a new, we just made a new sketch.
Is that versus like, you have to get like a 4-year-old and like,
yeah, let's do it. I'll wreck that 4-year-old. Anyway, but like it was the bullet with like he's got a little tennis racket in his mouth, and he's just like going back and forth.
That's Chain Chomp. I think you're thinking about.
Oh, you thinking of Chain Chomp?
I don't know.
Yeah, because Chain Chomp doesn't have arms.
Well, Bill has. I can't.
I can see him being confused for like a bullet from somebody who.
They're both black and like they have the teeth.
Anyway, good gifts coming out of that game.
The animation in that game is really good. Yeah. I mean, the Skull and Bones guy, I forgot his Dry Bones, I guess. Like, you know, he like slides to move. Like he turns to a shell and slides as he moves back and forth, which is cool.
I mean, I think it's almost like Dragon Ball Z in kind of a way. When you see these trick shots, like it's sort of cutscene-y, right? In terms of like pulling away, and you see them do these flips, and then like, and it's like, oh, I feel awesome. But yeah, I think it dumped too much too fast on you.
Sure, yeah. But that's why I say, like, if I had the time, I think I would love this game. I mean, it's really good. It's worth checking. I think is there a demo or no? Maybe not?
There was a test.
Oh, there was a test. That's right. There's no demo.
Yeah, I mean, if I had the patience to go through all these, like, challenges.
I wonder how the multiplayer is.
Yeah,
well.
I was gonna say.
I've heard it's pretty good.
People say it's great. It's like really good. That's the part that's supposedly a lot like a fighting game. Right?
I've heard the community is really really good already.
Mm. Oh, see, okay,
actually being able to just pull off the two Joy-Cons and play seems like a lot more interesting as far as like more chances that you could actually play local multiplayer.
It's like Odyssey, I think, right? When it's better when you're detached. I think it's probably like that. I just didn't get a chance to do that.
Speaking of Dragon Ball, I think that just got announced for Switch coming September 28th.
Dragon Balls.
Yep.
Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Dragon Z Balls.
So it's finally coming to other systems. So
wasn't that in the Direct?
It was, but they no release date.
Oh, I see.
Graham, you might want to get that finished. So you have 10 business days between now and September 28th.
It's out on PC as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I can play it on PS4 and PC.
We have a Vulix in the office, and we have the PC hooked up, and it's basically a Dragon Ball and Cuphead machine.
Beautiful.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Cuphead is one of the speed runs that I was watching from Summer Games Done Quick.
Summer Games Done Quick was amazing,
which was
as always
awesome.
I missed
2 million. They broke 2 million this year.
Was that the first time?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yep. 12, I think.
Some highlights.
Donation's still open for that, right?
Personal highlights? Maybe,
Shit, I missed.
I'll save it for winter.
Yeah, save it for the next one. Just like, go big. I'm going to do that.
A lot of good ones. X84, friend of the show.
Vaxxard. That's right.
Which he needs to get like on Twitter.
You're never going to win that.
Yeah, that's
he's not
doing
really.
He doesn't even use an operating system. He just AKA, like,
he is at once the most technologically
advanced
human.
Is he on like Mastodon or something?
Yeah, and I think he has a rotary phone
at
home.
He has principles. Yeah, he has principles about what
he does.
He's
got an acoustic coupler that he just like puts it on there.
But you might have heard him on this podcast talking about Dragon Quest XI and other things, but he was doing Dragon Quest III, which I imagine it was interesting to me, and Dragon I never Warrior even played that 3. Game. I'm sorry, Dragon Warrior 3?
The NES version of Dragon Warrior 3,
Which there was some really interesting stuff about that game, especially like the final battle and stuff that I mean, I don't.
Did you
I've
watch
never
the whole,
played that
did you
game.
Watch his run?
I actually did, but I didn't. I missed part of this part of it in the middle. So I saw like the beginning, like the first.
I could never explain it the way he could, but this is. But he literally like figured out a way to. He figured out a way to manipulate the random number generator,
right,
to do what he wants it to do, and ended up beating the game in like I think his record is 44 minutes. He can beat Dragon Warrior 3,
Dragon
which is like
Warrior
a 40-hour, 50-hour game.
Yeah,
and like to the point where like you know by the end of the run, like he's. He's got it down to he can like manipulate like when battles are going to pop up, what's going to happen during those battles, like what level they need to be, and he got like he's going to get hit and he's going to have one hit point left before his last fight before his end win the battle, like that level of crazy detail. He said he took hours to like lay out this thing to work on.
He
it.
Used like tool assisted stuff to figure out a lot of the math. It's like a lot of it's pure math. A lot of the old RPGs do.
Yeah,
this,
he said he did hours and hours of math.
Yeah, a lot of them they just have to figure out where the like. The timing is at so that they know where the random number generation is going to figure stuff out, and then they basically sync it. So like, there's a part at the end of that game where like pits just randomly appear, but he know he like has it set to where the pits only appear on the top half of the screen, so he can just walk out. And there was something about like the final boss is somebody who's fighting somebody else in the side of a volcano or something like that.
That's your dad in the game. It's like part of the intro. It's not the final
spoilers, man.
Yeah, really.
I know. I spoiled it. 30-year-old
spoiler. But he like figured out that mathematically,
that's right,
it's impossible for your dad to
program,
win that fight.
They programmed in an instance in there where,
even though they did program something, if he won, that it, what it would say,
what he would say. But he figured out that there's like some million different permutations possible, and none of
many
them
millions
would let you win. He figured out the math.
Anyway, watch that run. Yeah, Vaxxer, Dragon Quest 3, or maybe call it Dragon Warrior.
Vaxxer
is his name.
H-E-R-D.
Okay, that's his Twitch thing. Celeste, there's a
I didn't watch that because I heard it's great, but I want to finish the game first, so I don't want to spoil
it. So like it's hard to even follow what's going on. They're moving so fast.
Did you watch the Zelda 1 race? There's like a Zelda 1 like race where you can only use wooden sword and only have 3 hearts.
Four people
race to the end. Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. They did some new categories. I think there was a Mario 3 All Forts run, which is was an interesting thing to watch. Resident Evil 4, they had one that with a bunch of stuff that I hadn't seen before. I was talking to Steve before the show where, like, at the starting village, they manipulate it where they know where everybody's going to spawn, and they throw a grenade before they even spawn. So, like, that beginning village where normally you have to just run around for, 20 minutes, it's basically like they throw a grenade out of a window and don't even look, and it just explodes, and it's killed, like, 7 people before they, like, literally right as they were spawning.
Wow.
All in the same spot because they've manipulated where they all spawn in the same place. Really impressive.
We've been talking about speedruns on this show for years, especially you and JJ, like, back in the day, but, like, now that I have YouTube, like, built into my TV, I think I'm just going to leave the Games Done Quick channel on.
It's amazing.
Like, there's
endless
entertainment.
And then you get the related videos, and you get suggestions. You're like, oh, wait, shit. Like, so one of those that I got out of watching Summer Games Done Quick, which was from last Games Done Quick in the winter, was for Bloodborne. Which, if you haven't seen this Bloodborne run, especially I'm looking
my
over
attention
at you guys, Graham and Roy, this guy called Jesus Here's Toast is his Twitter.
Okay.
Actually, it's his Twitter name.
Underscores in there somewhere.
No, nope, that's just it. And so he might be Toast. He might be called something like Toast or something for short, but it's like Jesus Here's Toast. And if you see the guy run for a while, you will understand how he has that name. Like, just like a very different kind of streamer, very, very interesting. A lot of like terms for one of the things I love about watching speedruns is you get all these terms and insider knowledge, and like this stuff is crazy, but like, you know, like Molly's, John found him.
Jesus Toast is his Twitter.
Okay. He's like talking about Molly's, you know, from Molotov Cocktails, and like the what is it you throw to like distract the Bloodstar beast?
Oh, it's like a blood urn or something. I know what you're talking about.
It's got this weird name, and he has like a short version for referring to this all the time.
Speedrunning speech as well.
But like he gets I won't even spoil the run, but like shit happens that's kind of not supposed to happen, and his reactions and stuff like that. Highly, highly, highly recommend it. Definitely okay. watch it. It's entertaining.
Yeah, the runners themselves can really make or, I mean, some yeah. runs are just going to be interesting no matter who runs it, but like a lot of times the runners themselves add a lot of value to,
big
to watch. Oh, yeah.
Big
They're
time.
Like, oh, hey, there's like and that, a, that's actually even an extra, like a more impressive skill to me because the fact that you can concentrate that hardcore yes. on a game.
It's crazy yeah. like yeah. that you're doing that. It's incredibly hard, even as somebody who's just demoing a game and not even having to be good at it and trying to talk somebody about it at the same time, like at E3 with Tetris Effect and other stuff. Like, it's really fucking hard. You yeah. have to really know your shit. It's just like, it has to be muscle memory.
You play it that much, yeah, it's second nature to you.
But right. yeah, I would be really interested from your guys' perspective, too. He does an all bosses run as well, which there's a lot of that game and a lot of bosses that I hadn't seen. And a lot of the stuff he's doing, like, he constantly is killing that poor woman in the what's the space with the house that you keep going back to, the dream or whatever.
Oh yeah, it's faster to kill her than go through her dialogue. So speedrunners, they always just kill her, and then you talk to the dead body, and
save
it just
the animals.
Immediately brings up the.
Oh, okay, yeah, nice. Like constantly killing her, which I was like, oh, that's I'm surprised you do that because it's usually a bad thing in Souls games.
That item was a pungent blood cocktail.
Yeah, so
way.
Like pungy, I think is what he's calling. He's like, okay, 1, 2, 3. He's like counting it. He's like 1 hit, 2 hit, 3 hit. Pungy in the corner. Boom. Here we go. Da, 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 da. I can't even like mimic his cadence. It's so amazing. Like,
sounds good.
Definitely watch it. Like you, especially Roy, I think would enjoy it. Resident Evil Remake had a really good run there. I think that's about it. Did you catch any other?
Well, I watched a bunch of stuff, but I don't even know how much of it was from this one or before, because by the time I got to it, I was just literally doing like the next
YouTube,
thing.
YouTube, yeah,
the
see, next the, thing, yeah. the next thing.
I watched
the
Great Castlevania run.
Yeah. You're like yeah. deep state of, videos all of a sudden.
Right.
Like Pizzagate.
There were a bunch of good
speed runs.
Castlevania runs in this one, too. There okay. was a 1 and a 3. There was a good Castlevania block, but...
yeah, I watched the 1-1. I think that was new, but yeah.
Awesome. Yep, support those guys if you can.
That is like the greatest thing. Like I used to think PAX was amazing
yeah.
and whatever, and it's cool and all, but like Games Done Quick is like the literally the coolest thing the game
so cool.
industry is
I want to go there like, at some point in my life.
Me too.
Maybe when I'm like... retired and dying or
what?
Something.
No,
but...
do this stuff while you're young.
No, but
tell everybody this.
I mean, a whole week, it's just hard to be like, I'm taking a week off, goodbye wife, goodbye child for a week because
take them.
I'm going
Sounds
to
like
go watch in person something that I could watch from right there.
That's true.
But
I can watch Wimbledon on TV.
No, you're right. I mean, but explaining that to somebody that doesn't know, it's like, yeah, it's going to watch somebody play a game really quickly. like a 20-year-old Nintendo game. Like Wimbledon's like a little bit different. But yes, to your point, I do want to do that. I want to do Evo at some point as well. Hopefully when
fun.
Graham
hey.
Enters,
you'll go
Graham
with me?
Grows
oh,
a pair.
Oh, wait. What are you going to speed run?
No,
he's
going to
go to Evo.
Oh, Evo.
Yeah,
Evo.
He's going
Evo.
Back
oh,
to Evo.
We have people in our office that they go to Evo.
Well, of course. Well,
yeah,
but,
yeah.
but Graham
You're
is
much
actually
closer
like,
to Vegas.
Graham is actually competitive level Street
Smash.
Fighter player.
Are you going to put Luminous in Evo? Because this guy is like number 8 in the world or something, apparently.
So we didn't talk about Luminous Remastered.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
I didn't know.
Yeah, I was playing with my girlfriend, and she happened to go to like the records screen, and she's like tabbing through it, and she goes to like my friends. And there's Graham, and he's got like 1.3 million points or something. Like, wow, that's a lot of points. And then she goes back to like overall, like, and Graham's in the top 10. He's like number 8 or something.
I mean, I played through basic mode once. Yeah.
He played through basic
on
mode
PS4,
once.
Yeah.
On PS4.
I think most people are probably playing on Switch.
They are.
If I had to guess,
I can
yeah.
tell you for a fact that is. The
okay.
case. Yeah.
Not to qualify your score at all, Graham.
No.
Graham's good.
Yeah,
I mean, Graham got unlocked all the skins in one run, which pisses me off because it took me like. I mean, I've done it in the past, but like I hadn't played in years.
Yeah.
On PSP, I've played
days,
4 runs now, and
no,
I keep
Graham
dying.
Is really good.
In the 90s.
I don't know how you lose at Luminous.
Graham,
I can show you.
You know what? Like, grab something.
I don't know how you enter an end state. Like, I don't
Graham is like
you can
now becoming an elitist, but like,
no,
but,
I,
how can you lose it?
But
Luminous?
When watching him play Tetris is really good. I mean, you've been talking on the last like month or so of podcasts about well, maybe
becoming
two,
a grandmaster.
3 months, yes, about playing Tetris Grandmaster,
yeah.
But like. I could tell
every day
because we've had you in now for 2 user tests, and I could tell the difference on Tetris Effect and your
PS4
your play
was smoking
style.
When Graham left the room.
I broke your PS4. Well, I didn't break it. I turned it.
Wait. Okay, so now we have more evidence.
Yeah, maybe
you
broke the Switch.
That's right.
Great hardware.
That's right.
You're like an Ameotoko.
You have like
you're
that
like,
Manzen feel.
You're like the
like,
where
you
go
floppy
trouble
disk, would you like erase it?
You're like powder. You're like that movie Powder.
I'm too hot for
you. Like
games,
electrically
man.
Charged, or you're like a giant magnet or something. You were born a giant magnet, and everything you touch just fucks
That's
it up.
That's tragic. I love electronic. Games so much.
Yes, exactly. It's like a Twilight Zone episode.
It's gonna be worse if you have a PC, because there's like magnetic fields.
What are you playing on this PC of yours, by the way? Do you even have a decent PC?
No, not yet. I don't want to spend $150 to repair my Switch. I'm gonna spend $2,000 on a PC.
That's what I was gonna say. What are you talking about?
Exactly. Yeah. I have no choice. Mark,
right?
This shit is just.
Are you really gonna buy a PC?
Yeah.
Or did you?
No, not yet. No,
oh, really?
I'm looking at Dos Parallel.
All talk, Dermot says.
He'll be back. Are you gonna build your own? Or are you gonna buy it back?
See, that's what I've been looking at. Like, if you look at individual parts on Skumo, or just like buying a prefab with the same parts on Dos Parallel, like it's not actually different. It's like, what's the point in putting it together myself?
Well, so I don't. I mean, there's a difference in the U.S. Like, if you like build versus buy.
Not as much out here.
Okay,
a little bit. If you order the parts yourself from Amazon, though, you can get it for cheaper than.
See, I don't want to support Amazon. Amazon.
I bought a ridiculous decked out PC earlier this year from, I think it was from Dospada, and it is like smoking. Like, it is the fastest PC I've ever had in my life. Like, I mean, I kind of went all out this time finally because I never did before, but like, I approve.
My last two PCs I built myself, but like, looking at the price differentials, like, I might as well just have them do it and send it to me. It's like,
thank you, by the way, John, for not doing the Jim Carrey smoking.
Yeah.
I just appreciate that.
It's in everybody's head now.
I have to call it out.
Thank
you. So are we going to
Does anybody even know what that is who's listening? I don't know.
So, it's not like 12-year-olds listening to this. I mean, come on,
8-year-old. Like, I wish I could get a Kirby thing from Steve.
Damn.
12-year-olds know what pinball is.
12-year-olds probably are saying... Wait, yeah, do you know what pinball is?
Yeah, I play pinball.
Describe it. Wait a minute. Prove it. What's pinball, Dermot?
You got the flippers, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, it's...
Right. Yeah.
He could also...
No, what else? Yeah. What else?
All right, name a pinball machine.
See, I can't do that.
Oh, okay. Oh,
really?
Yeah, man.
What do you call it?
Yeah, but you can't name a fiddle.
What do you call it when, like, many balls are on the table at the
Multi-ball.
Same time? Okay, well, then you that.
All right. But see, I know that because I played Sonic Pinball.
Sonic Pinball.
Sonic Pinball on the Game Boy Advance.
See, you gotta, Dermot, you gotta yell back louder. You're never gonna have that out in your life. They were fucking like showboating you.
It's like podcast.
They were high roading you. They were high roading you.
We're on the same bench. You gotta flip the bench.
That situation, that's like when you did that World Cup thing to me. You have to fucking savor that shit.
Yeah, so you know what? That is.
Come back times 10, like, oh, fuck you!
Yeah.
In your fucking face. In my face? No. In your fucking face.
I mean, like, there's definitely a level of respect that just rose right there. It's like the Grinch heart, just like a little bit bigger.
For Dermot, but not for whoever named the game Sonic Pinball.
I know, that is
Wait, there's a Sonic
stupid.
Pinball that's not
yeah,
Sonic Pinball?
Sonic Pinball Party.
Is this Sonic the Hedgehog really?
Sonic Pinball Party.
Or is this like Sonic, like, sound?
It had Sonic and it had Sonic.
Yeah, you're done with
restaurant.
Yeah, you're done with SPP. Yeah, you know me.
Yeah. Sonic the restaurant chain had a very successful pinball.
Jaleel White.
No, wait, what was this, an actual like physical thing, or was this
it's a Game Boy Advance
cartridge.
Yeah, I
had the pack-in, which was Sonic Pinball Party, which had Sonic Advance.
Don't yell at me like I'm supposed to know some shitty fucking Sonic fucking pinball
game. This is why I told him to yell at people.
Yeah, see now.
No, but I wasn't
your own medicine.
Showboating. I wasn't fucking. To doing
you are
right as shit.
I learned it by watching you.
All right, so what's the shitty game that you're playing?
Sonic Pinball Party, and then you could also select Sonic Advance. It was on the same cart.
Okay.
You know? I didn't know about
one of those
this.
Value packs.
Yeah, I know. It's like Barbie Horse Adventures.
That's
like
a third game. Seattle has a pretty rad pinball like bar downtown, too, right?
Oh, I love Shorties in Seattle.
Yeah.
You get a Frito Pie.
What's the one that everybody rents out or at Humble Bundle? Or
what?
No, Indie Mega Booth has their party out at PAX.
Oh, maybe the same one.
Retronauts does it too.
It's the basement of a bar in Capitol Hill.
Unicorn maybe? Huh?
Yes, that's it.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, thank you for
spent a few nights.
That was going to bother me.
All right, you actually spent the night at Unicorn.
Wow. If you can, make it all until morning, then you like get the deed to the house or something.
That's right.
But where? Okay, pinball.
Pinball.
Have you played Pokemon Pinball? Speaking of
that game, was good.
I have. Yes.
Why I bring it up?
That game was good.
Yeah, that's an actual good.
But I still think Revenge of the Gator is the best like video game pinball game I've played.
So
I really enjoyed that one. Howl Labs, Game Boy early gen Game Boy game, really really good. Yeah. Mm. Why did we, I brought that up? But why were what were we talking about before that?
Lumines a while ago. I don't know.
Yeah. Lumines remastered.
We just kind of anyway. Ship is sailed. Deviated in a pinball. Yeah.
Yeah. You were playing something else on your Game Boy. Or, I mean, on your 3DS.
I was playing Wario Land 2, man,
which is a Game Boy
classic.
Game Boy ass game.
Yes.
Why?
One of the last Game Boy games. It was also remade for Game Boy Color. So I'm playing that version because that's what's on Virtual Console.
Ah, okay. I was wondering like that would be on. Mm. Why just that game? Just a fan or did you?
Yeah, I love that game.
Right.
I come back to it every once in a while. It's super real playable. Like, I don't know if you've ever played it.
No.
Hold on. Okay. That's the one after 6 Golden Coins?
No, so yes. There was...
No, that is 6 Golden... No. It's...
Mario Land 2 is 6 Golden Coins?
Yeah. And then, right now?
No, and then they have Wario Land 1, which is Super Mario Land 3.
Okay, right. Is that the one where like, he farts and he gets big and shoulder charges stuff?
Isn't that all of them?
Yeah, well,
yeah. No, it sounds like the virtual
Wario Land 2 is interesting because it's more of a puzzle platformer. Wario is invincible. So you actually have to hurt him. Like, you have to burn him and change his state so that you can solve all these platforming puzzles.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought that was 3, but I guess, yeah.
It's 2 and 3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they have the same mechanic.
3 is more of a Metroidvania in that, like, you collect more powers as you go.
Okay.
And 2, you have them all from the beginning, but there are different exits.
Mm-mm-mm.
So you can go back and get different endings. Super fun.
I remember that game. I played all of them. I always felt the Wario Land and the Mario Land games were, like, just slightly too easy. Like, there was something about them that there wasn't enough challenge, but they were all, like, super interesting to me, right?
I mean, that whole series is, like, quirky. Like, you know, the Mario Land games, you go to, like, the pyramids and space, and that continues into
Mario
Land
1, I think, is, a classic. That game is amazingly good, but it's just different. But I feel like from 2 on, they got really easy. Mario Land 2 is just a cakewalk.
Did anybody play the Virtual Boy one?
I want Clash.
No.
So
Looking at you, Steve.
Well, I
you mean Mario Clash or
no the Wario Land?
No, the Wario Land. Wario. Yeah, it's a platform. So the problem I have with the Virtual Boy is
it sucks.
Instant headache for me.
The problem. Singular problem. There's
there's many problems for me personally. There's.
I remember getting it like. Wicked headaches.
I stick my head in it like
immediately.
It's like right to my temple.
Yeah, they usually have like Virtual Boys on display at Super Potato that you can play with, and even just looking at it for 30 seconds, like okay, I never need to own this.
So I got used to it though, and I do love it.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Somebody's got them now with VR. Somebody's got to re-release those games.
One of the things that needs to get out, and they're when Nintendo was doing the dev kit for the Virtual Boy, they had a series of
tech demos
that would make people sick. So like, don't do this.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
And so it's like, instant nausea. It's like, and so to show it, they actually had you could run it and stick your head in there and see what would do
sure
to
enough.
You.
Oh, man. God, like did torture. It have like Nintendo characters and shit?
I think it was like it was more like things you do with like planes and like distance and things like that.
I want to get drunk and do that.
Steve wants to get this so he can give it to the Marika guys. Like, he wants to like peace.
Yeah, I know. Actually, what I would do is like one of those like the VR parks. Everybody's doing their like fireman shit or whatever, or baseball, and then all of a sudden this gets pumped in and everybody throws up.
Right.
It's like that scene in Stand by Me.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but actually, like come to think of it now, because like a Virtual Boy emulation almost seemed like a non-starter because like okay maybe you can approximate and I guess they can now.
Oh yeah, you can totally do it for like Oculus if you
but like
to.
But yeah exactly like using that
why,
be fucking awesome. What do you mean why? Mario Clash, come on, that's history of you of all people. Steve,
I know
the
I know.
History
okay. I was at the show when Virtual Boy was there too. CES or was it
no
CES?
It was E3.
It was the first E3.
It was the first E3 because remember they had the Killer Instinct booth.
Wait, was it at E3?
Yeah,
it was at the first. E3. Yeah, but I thought it was at It was at summer. It was at winter CES that January though.
Oh, was it
as well?
Because I remember like E3. It was like when you walked in the Nintendo booth, it was like all Killer Instinct, and then they had the projection TVs with the Virtual Boy stuff, and they gave you those glasses to like, put on.
But they had games too that never came out, right? At those shows.
Yeah, they did. Well, Comanche was at that booth.
No, I don't mean Super Nintendo games. Oh, I mean Virtual Boy games that never came out. Yeah, but it might have been at CES. But
they also had a booth.
The Virtual Boy Classic, the Nintendo.
Yeah,
my God.
Sooner or later,
it's just a pair of glasses. You just put it on. And
yeah. Well, so that booth, the thing I remember from that E3 booth, the first E3 booth, was they had a little section cordoned off where you could get a Killer Instinct tattoo for free.
Oh, badass.
Like an actual Killer Instinct.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Was it the logo or was it like Orchid?
I saw a guy getting like Riptor, like tattooed on his arm.
Of course, Riptor. Steve, you got to collect that. That's the one thing missing from the collection.
I'm getting it sleeves where we get it like
Evil Twilight Zone. I am the collector. Oh, I must have it. I must have your arm. What would you pay for?
Ultra combo.
Yes. How perfect.
Collecting people's skin.
Crazy that Killer Instinct was ever like the cornerstone game to a Nintendo booth is just also just like blows my mind.
I have one of the games from that booth. Like the prototypes from that booth.
Oh,
Killer
really?
Instinct or?
Yeah, Killer Instinct.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Is it very different?
It's pretty close to final.
It's disappointing, right, when you get one of those, like a prototype or something, and it's like, oh,
yeah, it's pretty much the same. There's still difference. I think that for me, it's more of an emotional, like, I remember walking up to this booth and playing this build.
Right.
Right. And now one of those, like, eight carts or whatever is now going to
but
me.
I literally finished Star Fox 2 at that show because it was super easy to finish. You could just go right to the end.
Yeah, you just, like, power through it, right?
I mean, the final game is a little different from what it was then, but, like, it's like...
But you reminded me of one of those Holy Grails that I'm sure has been dumped, but I used to have one of the originals, which was Castlevania Symphony of the Night, where they had it with English text, but they still had the Japanese voices in it.
I still have mine.
You still have yours?
Yep.
You can't... I one time actually started playing through that. It's not the whole game.
No, it is the whole game, but you can't finish it without like some kind of game shark thing. It stops you at a certain point.
Yeah.
You can skip it.
It's really far in.
Game.
It was not like they put an artificial thing here. Let's
it was
stop
the E3
it,
demo.
So putting the demo. Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is like some of the stuff we're doing with Video Game History Foundation, and like Frank can like power through and think, I'm going to try to finish this game, even if it's super broken.
Yeah, someday I will. I think I'll probably just give you guys my stuff at the end of the day. Like, I have, like, a 70% version of Knights. I have, like,
Resident Evil. When you die? Is that
end of my day, yeah.
I don't see that happening anytime in your...
I have a ton of Resident Evil
living,
betas,
breathing lifetime. Like,
but although I don't have the 1.5, although we did play it, but I don't have it.
You
but,
played it. I didn't.
Well, you weren't there? Oh, Shu was there. Yeah, me and Shu were there. No.
Yeah, I can't believe, like, you guys...
Yeah, that is, like, some crazy...
You guys have, like, very fuzzy memories about it, too. You, like, don't remember too much. I'm like, it pisses me off because like
it was
should have been like fucking writing
we were in the right place at the right time in history for that to have happened, but
it's crazy that has not leaked.
I think it has, actually. There's
really,
it's out there now.
It has,
but it hadn't for a very long time after we had played it.
There's a ton of stuff that's like, wow, why is that not out? And then Miss Peach World, right? The hacker, like, it's basically Menace Beach Sunday Fun Day, but it's released by Hacker, which did all those porn games for Famicom.
Right.
I found a copy. Tell me more about this. Right.
It's a really bad game. Hide that.
Anyway,
on the Famicom Classic.
It had not been dumped. Right. And then I found a complete copy, and we like scanned everything, and then we dumped it. But then someone else also realized it like almost simultaneously, and they released the ROM. And like, oh great, okay, it's out there. It's great. But
is a Bible Buffet out there? That was my one.
Everything NES
Bible Buffet.
Yeah, as far as I know, I think everything NES and Famicom that's been released is out, has been dumped. But there's like those weird prototypes, right? Like the Joust and that Mario Brothers that scrolls the other way and all kinds of other weird stuff.
What?
Yeah, it was on Yahoo Auctions Japan. It's apparently a Mario 1 prototype, a Super Mario Brothers prototype.
No shit.
Really?
Yeah.
This sounds familiar because I wonder if I heard about it. I don't remember scrolling the other way.
It's something, I don't know.
Talking about the Joust that Iwata programmed? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have that.
Really cool.
We have that one, but there was a, that same seller also had a Super Mario Brothers prototype that sold before we knew about it.
Oh, it was the same seller, so you knew it was legit.
Same seller, so yeah, we knew.
Who did it sell to, do you know?
Someone in Japan.
You can't track the guy down who sold it, and then him track down the guy who got it, and then, you know.
We bought more from the seller to create the dot, like stuff we didn't even need.
Uh-huh.
Create the relationship.
Smart.
To open up the dialogue.
I like it.
Them. And so we're still talking, but it's...
All right.
If you need
any help, you know, with the Japan.
Yeah, it's one of those weird things that you have to talk to a Japanese person, like, hey, can you tell me about something you sold to some completely different person?
Right.
Like, yeah, that's going to be rough.
We should get to news. Can I just say one quick... This will be like 10 seconds.
Sure.
My girlfriend has playing... I was going to say at times, I was thinking of the game. It'll make sense. My girlfriend is playing... played through A Link to the Past, finally.
Cool.
She had never played it before. So I was actually watching it in detail in the last couple weeks. is the best Zelda game of all time. Correct. There's a thing Correct. That came out. There's a thing that came out on this week from I think it was US Gamer about all the best Zelda, and they actually ranked it number one. And I agree. I was surprised. They ranked all the Zelda games.
I'm not surprised. I mean, that's not a rare opinion.
No. I know. I'm not being controversial or anything, but I did want to point. Like, I had thought that over the years, like, okay, it's an acceptable answer if someone says it's the greatest game of all time. But I did think like other Zeldas had surpassed it. But going back to it now, has reaffirmed my belief that it is the best Zelda game of all time. Maybe the best
MC
game
Hammer
of all time.
Is referenced in the greatest game
in the Japanese
of all
version.
Time.
Yeah.
The original version.
When was the last time you played Wind Waker?
I played the HD version. Wind Waker's great, but Wind Waker's no Link to the Past. Come on.
Yeah,
come
I mean,
on,
the fucking
I don't even
sailing
the conversation.
Shit.
I like Wind Waker.
It's Breath of the Wild or Ocarina of Time. It depends if you're time.
Breath of the Wild's not even like top three.
No.
I would like, I would put that at maybe number four.
See, we should not go
if
into
you're
this.
Time, yeah, that's true. If you're here's the thing. If you're grading it on modern standards or if you're time shifting for when the game came out, which I think is always
that's
more
the thing, though. Link to the Past is still great today. It's amazing today.
Still great. It's still amazing, but like, if you had never played that game before, and I put that
well,
in front of you,
did that,
or
to be
Breath
fair,
of the Wild.
She hasn't played Breath of the Wild. She played all the others.
Then
well, haven't played Breath of the Wild.
It's a very different conversation than we're having right now.
True.
Maybe. I'm just going to put it that. True. Let me put it out that way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People always forget Link's crossbow training, man. It's up there.
That was good.
it's up there.
You still have that.
I mean, we got the stick
all
game
the,
with
yeah.
the CDI games. Come on, we just
all
like,
the best
all
Zelda
the
games have Link's name in the title. Adventure of Link, Link to the Past, Link's Awakening, Link's Crossbow Trans.
All right, Nintendo stuff. This is very cool.
Adventure
friends
Link.
Of the show,
yeah,
Fan Gamer and Jeremy Parrish have teamed up to create this. They're doing a Kickstarter. Kickstarter's back, folks.
I know. I backed like two Kickstarters this month.
Crazy
three.
One?
Whoa. I backed this. This is actually crazy.
Oh, like
yeah.
a Sega Master System.
I backed this. I backed the Sega Master System book, and I backed the Bluetooth thing for Switch, where you can use Bluetooth headphones with Switch. Because I just want that.
I backed the Good Life because I know. I want.
I backed the Good Life too. Hey,
yeah,
good life,
right.
Hey.
Nice.
Graham got his socks from Kickstarter.
I'm wearing Kickstarter socks.
Yeah. Oh, nice. So anyway, yeah, this accessory, which what was it called? That flip grip.
Flip grip.
Yeah, yeah. I tried that out at Bit Summit. He had one with him.
Yeah,
Jerry was just carrying it around. Yeah.
We did our Retronauts recording, and he had it like the really early, like 3D printed. Yeah.
I backed the shit out of that, man. It's a great idea.
It basically, just to explain what it is, it basically is a little pieces of plastic that go on your Joy-Con that then lets you click into your Switch in like so-called like Tate mode, so standing up like. Vertical mode,
yeah,
so it's like turning your monitor
portrait.
On its side.
Portrait mode.
There you go. And so games like Ikaruga,
there's
Donkey
a
Kong,
lot of stuff. Actually,
Punch Out,
yeah, Punch Out,
Punch Out,
a lot of NES classics.
Oh, there's is there a list here?
Gunbird,
Pinball FX3,
Gunbird just came out.
Gunbird, yeah.
Samurai Aces, Stern Pinball Arcade, Namco Museum, Strikers, 1945.
Stern Pinball Arcade. By the way, if you didn't buy the the Pinball Arcade, if you didn't buy the Williams tables. Table packs.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they're gone. You can't buy them anymore.
Yeah, I saw that was happening.
Good heads up.
This is me twisting the knife.
You have
if
a time
you forgot.
Machine.
Hey, by the way, you fucked up if you didn't buy them. But
$12, which is incredibly awesome. Like a very safe or fair price. Runs through July 9th. So as you're listening to this, it's almost over. So check it out.
Did you see someone? I guess the new Darius for Switch has like. Double screen mode or something?
Yeah.
Is that in the news too? Or
so basically,
no, but they were talking about
that's a
I don't think
that's
so.
Not a real thing.
I don't think it's an actual thing.
Is it not? But the guy who made the flip grip did actually mock up a thing.
Okay, so here's
put
what
two
happened.
Switches side by side.
Let me explain. Okay. I saw a Japanese guy tweet about
in Japanese or
in Japanese a picture that he had a sketch that he had drawn.
That's right. It was a response to your tweet, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
About showing like, oh hey, for Darius,
yeah,
like. What if there was a little piece? I want this thing, which is a little piece of plastic where you can slide two switches in, slide the Joy-Cons, and actually connect them.
Also, we know it's possible. Mario Party can connect screens somehow.
And we know now that that's possible, like with the Switch technology. And so I tweeted, like, somebody, like, make this happen, Fan Gamer and Jeremy Parrish. This is your next project. And, like, I woke up the next day, Japan time, and it was fucking there. Yeah. So Mike Choi works at Fan Gamer with them. I'd already mocked up just this little 3D printed
like
piece of plastic.
This little girder. That
little thin thing. And
it's actually
just
a really good idea.
And
it totally works.
Yeah. And we're like, you know, Reed at Fan Game was joking about sanding down because there's the bezel on the
yeah.
So you'd have to sand that down and get them together. But like, maybe that's the next thing. I don't know. Yeah. It'd be pretty cool.
I mean, that's
a
nice, really like unique experience about Darius that like you're not going to get if you play it on a regular console. Like I actually played for the first time,
like the Ninja Warrior,
yeah, Darius
Ninja
EX Warriors, Burst, right? In the arcades. Yeah. Like, I played it for the first time recently. It's like that screen is so fucking.
No,
light.
It's fucking.
And like
nuts.
There's a console port, and I was wondering how that works. Turns out it doesn't. They just letterbox it to shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
the
yeah.
six player X Men.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
oh,
also
man. That's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, that cabinet is. We tried to move it once.
Yeah,
I think it weighs like 800 pounds. It is so big.
Just two giant tube fucking...
Yeah, and it's... Yeah.
Is that the Where is the Laser game?
What?
Where is the laser?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That's a voice sample
yeah,
from
yeah.
it?
Yeah. The Welcome to Doom game.
Tetsuya Nomura concedes Final Fantasy VII Remake was announced too early.
Oh, was it?
Oh, shocker. Since it was
I love it when they showed, like, the like... What, like, MPEG video or, like, real video
yeah.
like, trailer that first time?
What do we think? Next gen?
No, 20, it's 21. No. Nah, it's coming out for PS4, I'm sure.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not
and
sure.
No.
Really?
I say PS5.
You don't think...
I mean, at the very least, it could be cross-platform. Yeah. Maybe on both, but it will definitely come out for current gen consoles.
No, it's be that PS10 that you, like, jack into your brain or whatever.
I wonder. Yeah. I have a feeling, like, we have to see that, like, Kingdom Hearts, like, other Square games. We have to see it at, like, three E3s in a row before, like, Candyman or whatever it appears.
Also, once
Final Fantasy VII,
you have to see it three, like, Beetlejuice. Yeah, exactly. You have to see it three E3s in a row, and then it'll finally appear.
But also, for Final Fantasy VII, they've already announced that this is, like, episodic.
Candyman.
Well, that's
Tony Todd comes out and just, like...
That means, like, we could actually have, I think, at least this whatever this first episode of Final Fantasy VII is, it'll be for current.
But then what? So the save data is going to carry over to PS5 or something?
Works for Suikoden.
I guess.
Suikoden.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. That's not... anyway. Pronunciation.
Do you think it's still episodic, though?
Oh, yeah.
That's
if you
that
can is, get, you can get dumb. FF7 nerds, they will pay for that game six times.
Yeah, but...
yeah.
Wait, six episodes?
Oh, we don't know how many
it's
episodes.
It's three
but
discs, isn't it?
Mario Kart 8 Deluxe patch with Nintendo Labo support. This is interesting.
Labo lives!
Labo! You can... the motorcycle handlebars. You can, this should have happened at launch. Why didn't this happen at launch? But it's brilliant. And you could actually play Mario Kart
They had a
Plus.
Demo that was like Mario Kart at launch.
Right.
Yeah.
Software update available now.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was interesting. They have more Labo tape here than I think they have in the
yeah.
US.
Yeah.
Like the masking tape?
I think all the tape.
Oh, yeah. You mean different styles?
Yeah, I bought one of them, but I didn't realize there's more.
Did you build your Labo, John?
I built the piano, the hardest one.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the hardest one, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
And you didn't build the robot?
No, I bought it, and it's still in the box, and I'm probably going to sell it, because I think I enjoyed my Labo experience, but I'm done. Because
no,
the thing is,
like, no. I'm never going to wear this fucking thing or play this thing ever.
Can't have cardboard in a okay. Well,
in Japan?
If you have a cat, you can't have cardboard.
Oh,
like, basically, like it's going to destroy your Labo, so, yeah. Unless you're
no,
going to hide
I want, it. I want you in the robot costume and your cat, like, hanging off the back.
Yeah, man.
Like...
Totally, with the strings.
Some little 5-year-old kid will get away. I'm going to be like you. I'm going to go to like a UFO catcher and just like hand it to some child or some. No, their parent. Sorry. And,
okay.
Wow, luring kids with cardboard.
Moving on.
That's a change.
Uncharted director Amy Hennig no longer at EA, starting
good
her own
for her.
Thing.
Yeah.
Making VR games. All very cool news.
Yeah.
I
like that. How it was like, so you're, what's up at the EA? She's like, yeah, I'm kind of not there anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
It was weird. That was a weird thing. She's like, there wasn't a good time to announce it. And
yeah,
so
it's like,
it's
I don't have another gig.
Even there is kind of weird.
Right?
Yeah.
God.
Shenmue 1 and 2 release date. Confirm someone here is excited about this.
Graham. I don't care about Shenmue, but I have good news for you about Shenmue 2.
Okay,
what's it's based the on the Xbox source code.
Okay.
Which means if it's the Xbox version, we get English voices, baby.
Oh
yeah.
Nice.
Wow.
Ooh, we get the dub.
$30 US, August 21st.
Now
combo, PS4, Xbox One, PC, all via Steam.
I agree.
Yeah, they were never good.
Yeah. I'm sorry if you thought they were. But
wait,
I'm
there's
gonna
people who think
that
the voiceover was good.
No, the game.
Oh, hey.
No. Man, you can pick up so many cups.
It had its merits.
And then you can rotate the cup.
Call it a good game.
And look at the cup and then put the cup back down.
Okay.
It's all about gosh.
I can do that in my kitchen, too.
A bunch of new 2DSs. They're still making 2DSs. They're still trying to get rid of them.
By the way,
sure
so my, you remember we talked about that Zelda 2DS that I bought?
You
that
said it would be the
recently?
Last one ever?
Yeah. No, the last one that I will buy.
Mm.
It arrived.
Famous last words.
And I saw, it's en route to Japan right now, but I saw pictures of it, and it is like, it's not some shitty, like, sticker thing. Like, it is, like, full on. The shield has, like, plastic that comes out of this.
Yeah, well, that's like
a
Minecraft
plastic thing,
no,
not
no.
a shitty sticker
it's
thing.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Well, like, because like the Minecraft and the Animal Crossing one, there's actually like multiple like
that's
level
what they're doing.
Layers,
I think they figured out the technology and like shit, we can make like 10 more of these things.
Oh, we can do multiple layers.
None of those new 2DSs are coming to North America yet, though.
Well, they will, I'm sure, at some point.
I don't know.
The system's kind
of Minecraft one has to.
You would think.
Yeah. That'll show up like in Estonia and stuff. It's going to show up everywhere.
Unless it's a licensing
thing. And Animal Crossing, we are so desperate for anything Animal Crossing.
Yeah,
I mean,
here we are.
Finally,
please.
Last but certainly not least, I can't think of a better thing to have happen to a Sonic the Hedgehog movie than to have Jim Carrey put on it as Eggman. There you go.
Two Jim Carrey references in one episode.
See? Bring it all around. See, Graham, and you ruined our kicker. Now you're going to have to think of something else.
Oh, damn it.
Now you're going to have to think of something else to end the show with. I hope you're happy. James Marsden, who is Cyclops in X-Men. X-Men and also in what's it called on HBO? Westworld.
Westworld, yeah.
And 30 Rock.
And he was on 30 Rock as well. That's right. Is also attached to it.
Wait,
Sonic
what is computer
generated?
I think he's like Sonic's human companion because
what?
He's gonna
have many shitty friends. Maybe he's like the crocodile.
They're gonna kiss. Sonic loves kissing.
Big the cat.
Yeah.
Dave Alverson's gonna give.
No,
it
you
10.
Know what? They should have John Cena be Big the Cat because remember that image
where
the you can't see me thing and it was Big the Cat.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah. So apparently it's just negotiating. It's not confirmed. It's actually happening. But
Jim Carrey listens to the show. I know that.
I know. He's a
good authority.
Friend of the show.
We have to just encourage him a little bit.
I like that they properly called him Robotnik in those articles. And
Eggman. There you go.
Not
yeah.
Eggman?
Yeah.
Dermot, as somebody who cares about shitty Sonic things
in
general.
Aggressive.
What? What?
Let's be kind to her.
I mean, that's why
I'm
he's
being
eating chili dogs all day. It's like Sonic.
I'm being very accommodating.
He's being mean
what?
To Sonic,
I'm
not
just
Dermot.
He had a pinball game.
What is your take? What is the Sonic's community take on this?
I think it's pretty positive.
Okay.
Like, I mean, it's nice to see a big name in this movie. James Marsden, like, he's fine, mm-hmm. I think. They haven't cast Sonic yet, as far as I know.
Mm.
Like, I'm still in negotiations, but, like...
Wait, wasn't it Jaleel
White then? Jaleel
White
was
really
that
exactly
yeah. It's the only reason I asked Dermot for a thing, so I could just do that.
So, I mean, I've never watched Sonic cartoons.
Yeah,
and I hear like Jaleel
good,
White,
man.
Which is yeah,
they are good. They are good.
They are.
They have a great.
Can
character.
I go
if a person
fast?
Tries to touch you in a place that makes you feel uncomfortable, that's no good.
Yeah, thank you.
Wow.
See, there's proof, Steve. It's great. It's amazing.
Shit.
See, you're throwing away all of these.
Kind of a little bit,
your
yeah.
Seed on the sandy ground.
Yes,
I worked it into the podcast. Yay! Congratulations to me. But think of something else now for the ending thing. In the meantime, somebody tell everybody where they can find us because I got to catch a bus. I'm not kidding. Go.
All right.
Quick.
Okay, we're at 8-4.jp. Well, our second home, giantbomb.com. There's always a thread on Resetera. Nice to see that come back from the dead this past week.
It's been busy.
Yeah, it's been busy.
We're also on Facebook. Like us on there.
You
we
horse.
Also like those. We like those. Like those 5-star reviews on iTunes. And of course, we are at 84play on.
I'm talking about
Twitter.
You guys, not the people who comment on Resetera. Those people are cool. Talking about you guys F5-ing Reset Era on our thread. Like, what'd they say? Did they talk about me? Oh, wait. It's like Tenacious D. Have you guys ever seen Tenacious D?
Yes.
So they, like, pretend that they're too cool for this fan, and then it cuts away. They're like, oh, yeah, we'll get right on that, because he gives them an email. Oh, yeah, we'll check that out. And then it cuts to them at home, like, wait, what'd he say about me? Wait, enough about you. What'd he say?
That's us.
My favorite Tenacious D thing is they have one of their merch items is the Tenacious D cum rag, and it says the Tenacious D cum rag because everything else is a cum rag. It's just a cum rag.
All right, Dermot. Where do we go?
Where do we go from there?
Speaking of cum rags, finish off the.
No,
what?
No. I want a different segue. If we're going to talk about my Twitter handle.
All right.
You should have asked him what his Twitter handle is.
Speaking of fan service, where should people go to?
That's fine, I guess.
Take care of them, finish themselves.
I don't
know. All right,
Dermot,
I'll go.
It,
no. I'll go. Okay, so at Stephen P. Lin,
good.
For me on Twitter.
Go.
Right. Hi, I'm John TV on Twitter.
I'm at Timely Howard.
I'm Roy, and I'm at Kodori.
Mark MacD.
I'm Dermot. I'm at Dermalo.
8-4 play for all of us at once. Did we go through everything else? Giant Bomb.
Yeah, we did.
Good.
Yeah. Happy Independence Day.
Steve, thank you very much. Yes, happy 4th of July. Thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
Great to be here.
Awesome.
I loved it.
Awesome. Always, as always, talking with you. Please come back.
I will.
Soon.
Please.
I will.
And I think that's it. So until 2 weeks from now, who wants to take us out?
When I was a child and I saw Ace Ventura, I think, 2, the one where he comes out of the rhino's butt or whatever.
Yeah.
That was the peak of comedy to me as a child. There was nothing in the world funnier.
So was that like Pet Detective? What was that one called? That was
Ace Ventura, Call of the Wild.
Call of the Wild. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that I rewound it over and over, and I would just watch
the videotape is like fucked up, like right at the end.
I mean, it was Blockbuster, so I don't give a shit. But I watched that over and over.
Attention PUBG players, are you sick and tired of missing all your shots and having no BP? Well, fear not, because you're about to have a veritable BP oil spill in your account and learn how to hit that sweet juicy PUBG spot. This is Trick Shots with the PUBG Genius. Look guys, who hasn't been there before? We've all missed that headshot in PUBG and had our whole class laugh at our botched circumcision. It's not a new thing, but it's something that you can fix. In this series of tutorials, I'm not just going to teach you how to shoot someone in the head, I'm going to teach you how to shoot them in the mind. Don't believe me? Let's take a look at this first example of a classic trick shot.
Next house over, which one? I think it's this house.
No, hang on. Teammate, stand back. They're friendly.
Okay, standing back.
They're friendly. They're friendly!
Okay.
Whoa, stop. See what I just did there? I depicted my teammate as an actual threat to this team. In reality, my teammate has a KDR of 0.01 and is a danger to no one but himself and his loved ones. Now they think that I'm someone that they can trust. Let's see what happens. Alright, my teammate's standing back. Alright, let's actually be polite about this. I have my gun away, okay? Are you coming in?
Okay. Yeah, I'm in.
All right. Okay. I'm at the top of the stairs. Okay. Greetings. It's nice to meet you.
Hello.
All right.
Nice to meet you too.
Would you guys like to hang out with us?
Yeah, sure. I like your room.
Wow, that was epic. And the good thing is, he doesn't even know that I meant to do it on purpose.
So that was very nice.
I thought you were someone else. Thanks to my cunning wordplay and Oscar-worthy performance, this team thinks that their death is just a classic case of mistaken identity. What I like to do is distill my technique into an acronym. It goes lie, attack, win, lie. The LOL system will never fail you. And now that you know the basics, you're ready for next week's episode, where we're going to go over seducing your opponent. Here's a quick taste of what I mean.
Fresh.
Hey,
okay.
Hey, are you my boyfriend? Dude, I won't shoot you again if you're my boyfriend. Dude? Yeah, it's
me. You want a team?
Yeah.
All right, I'm coming
out.
Wait,
are you my boyfriend? I'm putting my gun away, too.
It's me, dude.
Hey, all right, I put my gun away. Hey, dog. Is your boyfriend dead or is your teammate dead?
My boyfriend got killed.
Oh, my God. All right, hang on. Let's hook up. Ready? Okay. All right. I shoot my load all over you.
Oh.
That feel good?